ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേംസഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമാമി ശുഭദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്തിർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസവ ജായതേ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്ത കുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ. നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈപായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിദന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്ധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാതൃദാനനെന്തോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭികാഭികാഭി. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ. ശ്രീമൽഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശാ യാസം ഹരിഗദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയപ്രദീപം. പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർമ്മേണ വേലാകുലാം. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധന ബോധിതം. ലോകേ സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പതൈരഹര പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതപങ്കജം കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമാം. So these four verses which we were discussing last few classes, starting from eighth verse, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate idimatva bhajande mam buddha bhava samanvitah machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandashyamam nityam dushyanti charamanti cha. Then tesham satatayuktanam bhajadam preetipurvakam ദദാമി ബുദ്ധിയോഗം തം യേനമാം ഉപയാന്തിതേ. ആൻഡ് ഫൈനലി വി ഹവ് സീൻ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ തേഷാം ഏവാനുകമ്പാർത്ഥം അഹം അജ്ഞാനജം തമ ജ്ഞാനാശയം അല്പഭാവസ്ഥോ ജ്ഞാനദീപേന ഭാസ്വതാം. വി സോ ദയർ ദാറ്റ് ദി വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദയർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി മേക്സ് ദ സിറ്റുവേഷൻ ഇൻ സച്ച് എ വേ ദാറ്റ് അഹം അജ്ഞാനജം തമ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ഹി വിൽ മേക്ക് ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് മോർ സൂക്ഷ്മം, മോർ സട്ടിൽ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ്. ഹി മേക്സ് അവർ ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് മോർ സട്ടിൽ, പ്യൂരിഫൈ അവർ ചിത്തം ആൻഡ് കോൺഷ്യസ്നെസ് ആൻഡ് മേക്സ് ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് പ്യൂരിഫൈ ദി ഇൻ്റലിജൻസ് ഓർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് മേക്സ് ഇറ്റ് മോർ സട്ടിൽ, ഏബിൾ ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്. യു കൻ വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദിസ് ഓൾസോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ വി മെൻഷൻ ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ദാറ്റ് വെൻ ദ മൈൻഡ് ഗെറ്റ്സ് ടു അബ്സോർബ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ വേൾഡ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ലൂസ് ഇറ്റ് സട്ടിലിറ്റി, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ലൂസ് ഇറ്റ് സട്ടിലിറ്റി, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ബിക്കം വെരി വെരി gross. That is the, and in other words, in order to understand the subtle things in spiritual life, that power it will lose, it will lose that power. So in order to have that power, one of the things what the normally in the spiritual process is that for some period of time in alone conduct your spiritual activities, because it helps a lot that if you have no contact with the material world or material nature, that helps a lot, so that unnecessary chittavritti won't build up inside. That is the purpose behind it. So that, in other words, you will notice that even in that situation, in a natural way, the knowledge inside will start permeating, will start coming out. So because on its own, simply by keeping away from with contact in the world, one can see that sushmatvam or that subtlety growing inside, growing inside. Because by nature, intelligence has come from mode of goodness, isn't it? Intelligence has come from satugunam. So rajogunam tamogunam, if we do not make contact with rajogunam and tamogunam in a natural way, its capacity for analyzing the self and inquiring for the self will build up inside in a natural way. Contact with the world means basically we are exposing ourselves to rajogunam and tamogunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. So continuously, if we keep association with the world outside, the natural capacity for the self, for this jnana vicharam, or in other words self-inquiry, that power will diminish if we keep contact with the world more than what is unnecessarily. So in order to get it back again, that capacity what we have lost due to association with the material nature, prakriti, the only option is there to come to the salsangam and to engage in salsangam. And salsangam, bhakti, in this way, continuously absorbing in that and bringing that intelligence back into its sushmatvam, sushmada, or the subtlety. In other words, it's a process of washing that intelligence which has been contaminated with rajogunam and tamogunam. And jnanam, the knowledge on its own, will develop inside in that way. So that perfection, that waking up inside and leaving behind the world and intelligence turning back inside and becoming more subtle, that is called pratyabhijna. In the Bhagavatam you see this word used in many places, pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that somehow or the other, the mind and intelligence which was so absorbed in the world manages to pull out from the world and attention turning inwards. This is called pratyabhijna. In the Bhagavatam you will see that word often used. So what does pratyabhijna means? In simple terms, if you say, pratyabhijna means recognition of the self. Recognition of the self. At the moment, when your mind and intelligence is totally absorbed in the world, in solving the problems of the world, or in contact with the rajogunam and tamogunam, it does not have the capacity to turn inwards and look at the self. So at least, when we withdraw from the world temporarily for some time, what will happen is that intelligence become a little bit more subtle
and finer, and the result is that it turns attention inwards. Shraddha will go away from the world and will go towards the soul, and that is called pratyabhijna. That is called pratyabhijna, or recognition of the self. That means it turns the attention. In the Bhagavatam they use the word antarmukham. Antarmukham means that looking inwards, attention inwards. And what else is happening? And then when the attention goes inwards, then the Shraddha goes in such a way that what is my nature? Who am I? That question will become seriously building up inside. And then you will know that there is a space inside, what is known as the Hrit, or the place where the awareness is born. And therefore, and that space which is completely unaffected by anything, completely insulated space, and that space is called, intelligence will start showing that presence of that space inside, presence of the space inside. And therefore, that is what is called, Krishna calls it as Buddhi Yogam here. This is what is Buddhi Yogam means. Dadami Buddhi Yogam tam yenamam upayandide. He mentions that in the verse 10, isn't it? Tesham satada yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami Buddhi Yogam tam yenamam upayandide. Buddhi Yogam means this, that you have taken your attention away from the world. The result of that is the attention started growing towards inward looking. And with that intelligence moving inwards, looking inwards, naturally the inquiry will begin inside, who am I? What am I doing here? What is my identity? Sarupam. Sarupam, you want to find your Sarupam. You know very well, because first of all we have to recognize we are not this body. That you have understood on an intellectual level, that I am not this body. But you haven't moved further from there. In order to make that movement, the next thing is that attention from the world has to go, and in solitude, in seclusion, one has to inquire about the self. That will begin. And that is called pratyabhijna. Krishna mentions here that that buddhi, that intelligence, when it has turned inwards, inquiring after the self, it is called a buddhi yogam. So, in that situation, whatever transactions goes outwardly, vyavaharam in outside, and no vyavaharam can go inward and disturb that peace inside. And inside it is very much in a stable situation. There is no disturbances inside. And that shanti sthiti, which is perfection or purnada inside, is being experienced, and it will start showing that state. In the middle of all other transactions in this world or vyavaharam in this world, still you will find that peace inside that space. So that samadhi state which is shown to us, which shows to us, that shakti, that power is Krishna's grace. And that is what he has mentioned in the next verse also. Nashayami alma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. In the 11th verse, Krishna says, and that comes from Krishna's grace. So, and that is what is called that anukamba, where Krishna tesham evanukambartham aham ajnana jamthama nashayami alma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. That anukamba is that buddhi has gone inwards and buddhi yogam has begun, and the result is that we started going, and more and more you have become more focused inwards. And at that time Krishna says that even after, when you are engaged in vyavaharam or transactions in the world, it is not coming and disturbing inside anymore. You get through the vyavaharam in this world, somehow what you have to do, you go through it, but it does not go inward, inside, and disturb that shanti inside. And that shanti, when one experiences inside, that is Krishna's grace. And that is, Krishna calls it as anukamba. Anukamba. Tesham eva anukambartham aham ajnanajam sama nashayam atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. What does Krishna say there? Krishna is saying there that ajnanajam tama. Have you see that word? Tamasa has means darkness. Tamasa means darkness. And everybody knows about that, that tamasa, we also knows in the Kathopanishad that statement, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. So, mentions that, please take me from darkness to light. Mrityoma amrutam gamaya, asadoma sadgamaya. All these statements are there in the Kathopanishad. So, same thing here, Krishna is also saying, aham ajnanajam tama, ajnanam, ajnanam, because of ajnanam, or ajnanam means avidya inside, a darkness has come. And that darkness, just like how is that? You in the darkness, you do not know the vastu. You can't see anything, what it is, isn't it? So that is what darkness does. In darkness, you don't know, you can't see anything. You are completely lost in the darkness. Similarly, there is a darkness inside us. There is a darkness inside. What has that darkness done? The result of that darkness is, that darkness, what Krishna is talking about, this ajnanajam tama, what that darkness has done is that we ourselves don't know who we are. This is that darkness. See that? Aham ajnanajam tama, Krishna says, that this darkness, that tamasa inside all of us, which has come from ajnanam or darkness, is this, that in darkness you can't see things properly. See, you don't see the objects properly. Similarly, this ajnanajam tama, this tamasa that has come from this ajnanam, what it has done to us, you can't see who you are. You don't know who you are. That is that, therefore, that we ourselves have lost our identity. We don't know who we are. This is the truth, isn't it? All of us are wandering around and different identities. Man, woman, and all false identities we have taken here. And you are wandering around, but we also know that that's not our identity. That's not our identity. So that itself shows that there is darkness inside. So at the moment, we know about the jadavastu, all the jadam, dead matter, we are able to recognize very well. Therefore, therefore, in that inner space inside, what we are talking about, Hrit, Krishna calls it as Hrit. In that space, that is Chidakasham, where the pure consciousness is experienced, there is a lot of weeds there. In that place, there is a lot of weeds there. What is that weed? Weed is this ajnanam, or this darkness there. So, so just like in the field, when you have some grains are growing, wheat or rice or whatever, there will be a lot of weeds as well. So the weeds has to be taken out, and the process for that, taking out that weeds, is shravanam and shravana sadhana, or hearing process. So little by little, that darkness has to be, the weeds have to be pulled out from there. So therefore, in the Upanishads, that process is mentioned, shravanam, hearing process, then the reflection, vijaram, then mananam through the mind, and then nididhyasanam. That whenever little realization comes, holding on to that very seriously, and in that way, that ignorance in our intelligence will slowly get taken out from there. So what is the nature of this ajnanam, ajnanatin, surubam? Surubam of this ajnanam is, that first thing is, we have started thinking that we are a jiva. We are a jiva. And on that basis, each and every moment is an offshoot of the jiva's nature. Every moment is an offshoot of the jiva nature. So, because first of all, I started identifying myself as jiva. Not only identified as jiva, I am also thinking that I am this person, this body. And I am also identifying like a jadam, jadavastu, that is this body. And in this situation, whatever thought that is coming through, or every movement in me, is a weed in us. Just like, where is these thoughts coming through? Coming through in the mind, isn't it? So, this mind and the intelligence and our identification with the body all combined together has created the weeds in that space where it is pure consciousness. In the thoughts of that pure consciousness, identification with the pure consciousness, asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoham, ahameva ahamavyayam, asangoyam, that is our pure nature. No contact with the matter. This is our real nature, no contact with the matter. Matter is not our identity. Krishna spoke about that in the 7th chapter also, isn't it? Two things he has very clearly marked there. Paraprakriti, aparaprakriti. Abhrayam idastanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhutam, he says. Jivabhutam does not belong to aparaprakriti, it belongs to paraprakriti. And he also mentioned what is aparaprakriti means, isn't it? The bhumi rapanalo vayu kham mano buddhi, all of them is aparaprakriti. Bhumi apam analam vayu kham, that means the five material elements, which is this body. Then mind, intelligence and soul, mano buddhi, kham mano buddhi revacha. Mind, intelligence, ahangaram, eighth one. Mind, intelligence, ego, and the five material elements, which is this body, Krishna calls it as aparaprakriti. That is not us. We have nothing to do with it. But due to ajnanam is this. Ajnanam is, at the moment, that thoughts that's coming through the mind that we are identifying with these things. So Krishna says here that ajnanam, when it goes away, where is it rooted? It has got a root inside, and that root is that false ego, ahangaram inside. Ahangaram inside. And what that ahangaram, the base of that is ajnanam. Ajnanam is the base. Jiva ahanda or ahangaram has come from that. And when that ahangaram, ajnanam goes away, ignorance goes away, one realizes that I am not a jiva. I am not a jiva. On the other hand, that I am that vastu which is present as pure consciousness everywhere. That is that realization Krishna is talking about. And that nature of that pure consciousness is what? Sachidananda rupoham ahamevaham avyayam. Sachidanandam is that. Satta chitta anandam. That is the nature of that pure consciousness. At the moment we are not experiencing those three things, isn't it? Satta chitta anandam is not there. Instead, identified with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, experiencing the nature of the prakriti, not experiencing the nature of the sadvastu or the soul. It's not experience. What we are experiencing at the moment is the nature of the prakriti, which means birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age and disease and distress. All these things we are experiencing due to our identification with the apara prakriti. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, when we realize that body, mind, the false ego, all of them I am not, instead my nature is that like the sky, which is present, Chidakasham it is called. Different names they are used in the Shastram. But, and that pure consciousness, which is awareness, which is spread everywhere, in all space, everywhere, that and which is fully liberated. And when that pratyabhijna, when it comes in him, it happens at this stage. That when little by little we have, this requires a lot of self-inquiry. That is why repeatedly Krishna is explaining this again and again. That only through inquiry and reflection this will get grounded inside. That identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, when we get released from that, Krishna is saying, you will get a state where that you start experiencing this nature of the soul instead of feeling the nature of the body. Nature of the body is birth, death, old age, disease and distress. Nature of the soul is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Asangoyam, and it has no contact with anything in the matter, with the matter. But still, at the moment, we are experiencing that. That is what Krishna is saying here. When this pratyabhijna is the word, pratyabhijna comes inside, it removes that weed which is called ignorance. That weeds are called the ignorance. And then Atma Jyoti, or the power of the soul manifest in a person, or Atma Prakasham. In other words used, Ishvara Prakasham or Swarupa Prakasham. So many words are used in the Shastram, it all means one and the same thing. So, how is it removed? It is removed by that Chit-Shakti inside, Andaryami inside, who is present there. He removes that Ajnanam from inside. From inside, he removes the ajnanam. From outside, the guru or the spiritual master is supposed to remove that ajnanam from outside. So the job or the duty or the responsibility of the spiritual master is this, that the mind which is going on to the world all the time, helping that mind to go inwards, antarmukhatvam, to allow that to go inside. And whatever obstacles are there for the mind in going inwards, to remove those obstacles. That is the duty of the spiritual master.
Jnana virodhi prajina karma rupam ajnanajan tamaha mad vedirikta vishayagravanyam purva abhyastam tamaha.
In other words, all these fascination for those things which is not connected with the soul, whatever that is not the soul, which is, if you take away the soul, what is known as jadam, in all that vastu, when there is fascination for that, that only knowing that, then this dhyanam begins, of the self begins. So, in order to know our swarupam, our identity, when you are trying for that, through logic and reasoning, through Vedantam, even if you have come to know what the soul is, because when you study Vedantam, Vedantam teaches us about the identification with the soul. That is what it does. Even if you have come through Vedantam and by hearing about that, even if you have come to know through logic that the nature of the soul, when you start doing your vyavaharam or transactions in this world, again you experience that matter or presence of as jiva, this thoughts comes back to us. Even though through Vedantam you have come to the platform of the soul and started realizing your identity as pure consciousness, it is still possible that through the influence while we are performing vyavaharam in this world, vyavaharam will take you back again, back to the identity as a person, jiva, based on the body and the mind, intelligence and such things. So, so this thing, what happens from the, after knowing all these things, through logic and reasoning you have understood now, that I have nothing to do with this body, I am independent of this body, body belongs to material nature, she has given it, she will take it back, I am not a part of that, and there is a clear separation between the soul and the Atma and Anatma, self and the non-self. Everything together is called a non-self. That means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all together is lumped as non-self. So between the self and the non-self, there is a clear demarcation. And that is known to us through studying Shastram and through the process of Jnanamargam. We have come to know that. But still, when we go to Vyavaharam, it is possible that again, immediately without any prior notice, you start again going back to your old state of what? What's that state? Identification with the body, thinking that I am this body, thinking that I am housed inside this body, and my ego, all these things comes back and starts its activities again. So this thing, coming back to that state again and continuing and staying in that state is called adhyasam. Adhyasam, the word they use it. So till that ajnanam or avidya completely goes away from inside, it is difficult to get that experience, because that is why Krishna is saying here, execute bhakti. Execute bhakti to get that experience, because there is no other way. Krishna is saying that bhakti will give you that experience. Bhakti will give you that experience, Krishna says here. Bhattatri mentions this, how he put it like this. Addressing Krishna, he says to Krishna,
Yadhartyal tunmayasevahi mamana vibho vastudo bandhamokshoho maya vidyam tanubhyam tavatu virajido svapnabhodopamauto badhe jivadvimuktim gadavadichabida tavadi tavadego bhungte dehadrumasto vishaya bhalarasan naparo nirvradalma.
While summarizing Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is listening to Bhattatri how he has summarized this part of Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing is spoken, the Upanishads part. When, in the 10th chapter, if you remember, on the Ekadasha Skandam, if you remember, they talked about this two birds sitting on the tree, isn't it? Suparnavedau sadrashau sakhayam. That verse in the Bhagavatam has come from Upanishads. In Bhagavatam, with a slight difference, Upanishad verse is Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakhaya Samana Vriksham Parishasva Jate Tayor Anyam Pippala Swadvatti Anashtan Anyo Abhijaga Shiti. That is the Upanishad verse. That verse, when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions like this: Suparna Vedau Sadushau Sakhayau Yadracha Yedau Kritanidauja Vrakshay Egastayo Khadadi Pippalanam Anyo Niranovi Valena Bhuyan. The same words, same meaning, but with little changes in the words. That's all it is. And Bhagavatam also mentions there, Adha Baddhasya Muktasya Vailakshanyam Vadamite Virudha Dharmayostada Siddhayo Rega Dharmini. That was Uddhava's question. Uddhava said to Krishna, it is a bit confusing to me, Uddhava says to him. What is that? Baddhan, one person who is in bondage and one who is liberated. Can you tell me their characteristics? Vailakshanyam. Lakshanam. What is their lakshanam? Vailakshanyam vadamide. Please explain that to me, said Uddhava to Krishna in the Bhagavatam. Baddhasya muktasya vailakshanyam. How does that work? Because Uddhava is a little bit confused. He was saying this to Krishna. How does it work? In the same body, as Krishna mentioned, quoting from that Upanishad's verse, there are two birds sitting there. One bird is fully liberated, never touched by the Maya, never engaged in the enjoying its senses, no taste at all for material life, totally free and always in a peaceful state. One of the birds. The other bird, constantly jumping up and down from one branch to another, trying to find some taste for the fruit of the tree. Sometimes he gets a sweet fruit, so he jumps into the next one to get another next one, sweet one. Whenever he gets a sweet fruit, he doesn't look towards the other bird. Whenever he bites a bitter fruit, he gets the feeling, difficulty there, and then he starts looking into the other bird. Every time you look into the other bird is sitting there very peacefully, completely undisturbed, and total shanti state. So, this verse in the Upanishads, which is famous, that same verse has come to Bhagavatam also. And when this was spoken, Uddhava asked this question, how is that possible? These two birds with two different nature sitting in one place, isn't it? They are in one place, they are together. Viruddha dharmayostada. Their dharmam is viruddham, opposing dharmam in them. One in one type and another one is another type. Sthitayo reka dharmini. And they are situated in one place, and all dharmam, like for example, we are doing so many things as a unit, individual unit. We are doing different things. But inside us, these two birds are there, and they have two different nature, opposing nature. And how are we able to function in a unified way in this world? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Sthitayo reka dharmini, Uddhava says. That inside they are two, but outside we are one. We are able to act like this. That we go and doing things as we like it. But there is inside, Shastram is saying there are two birds. One bird completely unaffected. The other one always enjoying suffering and trying to lord over the material nature. And separation moves away from the other bird. The other bird is totally transcendental, totally unaffected by everything, staying on its own and always in a peaceful state, shanti state, and never has any desire to enjoy the world. So these two contradicting nature exist inside. But when it comes to outside, there is no contradiction. We are doing what we are doing, and we are so clear what we are doing about it. Isn't it? It's a very interesting thing. So that is where, when this portion came, it is a difficult thing to explain also. Bhattatri puts to Krishna like this. He says to him, യാഥാർത്ഥ്യാൽ തുന്മയസ്യൈവ ഹി മമ ന വിഭോ വസ്തുതോ ബന്ധമോക്ഷോ. ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ റിയാലിറ്റി യാഥാർത്ഥ്യാൽ തുന്മയസ്യൈവ ഹി മമ വസ്തുത ബന്ധമോക്ഷവും ന. സെയ്സ് ടു കൃഷ്ണൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ റിയാലിറ്റി ഐ എം നോട്ട് സെപ്പറേറ്റഡ് ഫ്രം യു. And not only that, as far as I am concerned, there is no bondage, there is no liberation either. That is the reality. Reality is like that. There is no bondage, there is no liberation, and I am not separated from Krishna. This jiva has come when ahankaram came inside, isn't it? False ego. That is what's called a jiva. With the presence of ahankaram or false ego, I am feeling a separation from Krishna, and I act independently. And I remain in that state for a very long period of time. Yadhartyal tunmayasseva himamana vibho vastudo bandhamoksha upmaya vidyam tanubhyam tavadu virajitau supna bodhopamautom maya vidyam tanubhyam. But then why do you feel that we are separated like this from Krishna? Because maya vidyam tanubhyam. That Maya, that what does Maya do? Maya does continuously create bodies for us. What kind of body? The Sushma Shariram, isn't it? Subtle body is in control of Maya. The subtle body inside is in control of Maya. And she keeps on creating new subtle bodies for us. So because of the way Maya does that, Maya Vidyam Tanubhyam. That is what is the nature of that subtle body, vidya and avidya. Sometimes that subtle body is in knowledge, sometimes that subtle body is in ignorance. When a stage comes, this both vidya and avidya goes away. Subtle body completely gets destroyed, then there is no separation after that. Separation is only now, when when vastudo bandhamokshom. Bandham moksham we are feeling, that means bondage and liberation we are experiencing now only because of what? Because of this subtle body inside. Maya vidyam tanubhyam virachitau. Maya creates this vidyam tanubhyam. That means this all these bodies which are based on knowledge and ignorance. Our bodies are created like that. Knowledge, little bit of knowledge and a lot of ignorance together. So with all the subtle powers, it creates that body, and when that is created, the result is that dream state and the awakened state has come to us. See how that works. That dream state and the awakened state has happened, that is how these three states have come to existence. Maya vidyam tanubhyam tavatu virajido svapna bodhopamautam baddhe jivad vimuktim ഗതവതി ച വിധാ താവദീ താവദേഹോ ഭുങ്ക്തേ ദേഹദ്രുമസ്ഥോ വിഷയഫലരസന്നാപരോ നിർവ്യഥാത്മാം ബദ്ധേ ജീവദ്വിമുക്തിം ഗതവതി ച താവദീ താവദേഹോ. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഓൺലി ഡിഫറൻസ് ബിറ്റ്വീൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ബോണ്ടേജ് ആൻഡ് ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ലിബറേറ്റഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ദി ലിബറേറ്റഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ്? ഏകദ്ദേഹദ്രുമസ്ഥ വിഷയഫലരസാൻ ഭുങ്ക്തേ നിർവ്യഥാത്മാ അപരനഹാം. ദാറ്റ് വൺ പേഴ്സൺ ഹൂ ഈസ് ഇൻ ബോണ്ടേജ്, വൺ ബേർഡ് ഹൂ ഈസ് ഫീൽസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ബോണ്ടേജ്, ഹീ സിറ്റ്സ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് ട്രീ വിച്ച് ഈസ് ദിസ് ബോഡി. ബോഡി ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ട്രീ, വാട്ട് ഈസ് ബീങ് റെഫേർഡ് ടു ഇൻ ദി ഭാഗവതം. ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് ട്രീ ഹീ സിറ്റ്സ് ദയർ ആൻഡ് ഹീ എൻജോയ്സ് ദ ഫ്രൂട്ട്സ് ഓഫ് ദി ട്രീ. ഹീ എൻജോയ്സ് ദി ഫ്രൂട്ട്സ് ഓഫ് ദി ട്രീ, വിച്ച് മീൻസ് that we engage in the gratifying the senses. That's all. That's all our business here. That bird, that is its business, the bird. That is sitting on the tree, enjoying the senses, sense gratification goes on. And the other one, which has never experienced any distress any time, who is always liberated, he never wants to enjoy anything. Why? Because it has its own shanti inside. It is feeling complete perfection of that peace inside, therefore he never gets bound. Out of these two birds, one never gets bound, the other one is always in the bondage state, in the bonded state. That is what he said. Yadhartyal tunmayasseva himamana vibho vastudo bandhamokshau maya vidyam tanubhyam Tavatu virajidau svapnabhodopamautau baddhe jivadvimuktim gadavadija vidha tavadi tavadego bhunte dehadrumasto vishaya bhalarasan naparo nurvyathalma.
So that is the same thing what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam when these verses were spoken. Krishna, that this question is that in reality there is no difference in our structure and the way Krishna has been structured. That both are Satchidanandam, isn't it? Satyachitanandam. Made of the same stuff, both of us. But what is that is in Krishna is in us also. And that is Krishna himself is present inside us at awareness, all the time as awareness. And therefore, if you look at that from that point of view, if you look at it, there is no such thing called bondage or liberation. Bondage or liberation. Just like sun does not know what is darkness, isn't it? Sun does not know what is darkness. Similarly, soul does not know what is bondage. Soul does not know what is bondage. It is always in the liberated state. And and because it is like that, it's always in the liberated state, this desire for liberation is not there in the soul. Soul doesn't have a desire for liberation. That desire for liberation is come from the mind. From the mind it has come. The soul is always liberated. Then who has got this desire? Jiva, the jiva. Jiva, which has got this false ego, he wants a liberation. Not the soul, not the Atma. Atma does not want the liberation because he is never in bondage. He is always in the liberated state, isn't it? Krishna also mentioned this to Uddhava, isn't it? Gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Krishna says, 12th or 13th chapter, the Bhagavatam. So, gunasya maya mulatval namo mokshona bandhanam. Due to the presence of maya, we are experiencing bondage and liberation. So who has got that? The jiva. The jiva means the false ego feels the desire to have liberation. The false ego feels the desire to have liberation, isn't it? But Chaitanyam inside has no such desire. No such desire. Just like they gave this example in the Bhagavatam, the same example. The two birds are sitting on the tree. One bird is eating the fruit. The other bird has no taste for the fruit. And when it is eating the sweet fruit, it forgets about the other bird sitting on the same tree. When it eats the bitter fruit, it finds it difficult and it looks into the other bird at that time. The Upanishad story. So, when it is eating the bitter fruit and when it looks towards the other bird sitting there, that bird is sitting in a very peaceful state. And this is the difference between Ishvara and Jiva, between Jiva and Ishvara. When Jiva experiences distress in life, all kinds of distress or miseries of this world, he starts thinking about it. He wants to see Krishna, who has no distress. Krishna is the other bird who is sitting there as the soul. So, this is also to indicate to us, only when the distress comes in life, our attention will turn towards Krishna. Otherwise it won't. You have to experience some distress inside. Otherwise it's very difficult to turn our attention towards Krishna. That's why that example is so appropriate in the Upanishads. And it has come in the Vedam, it is in the Upanishads, it is in the Bhagavatam also. To stress this one point, that only when the distress is there, this bird will, or when it eats the bitter fruit, it will look towards the bird. Whenever it gets a sweet fruit, it won't care what the other bird is doing. It's a fantastic example. And this example has come to all other scriptures also, even to the Bible. They have taken this from Upanishads. But they have, according to their place, they have modified it, that's all. But the example is from the Upanishads. Upanishads times, this example is known. Very well known example, that is. It is in the Shruti. It is in the Upanishads, it is in the Bhagavatam,
and it has come to Bible and elsewhere also. So, Dvasubarna Saija Sakaya Samana Vruksham Parishasajate Tvayoranyam Pipalam Swadvati Anashtananyo Abhijagashiti. That is the Upanishad's verse. So, here, so when this bird is looking towards that bird who is not disturbed by anything, Vita Shokaha. So this bird is in this story, as I mentioned before, the Adam and Eve story in Bible has come from this. Adam and Eve story has come from that. Only thing is it became male and female and all that later. But Jiva wants to experience this world, happiness of this world. Atma wants to sit as a witness. Sakshi. That Sakshi form is the nature of that Atma inside. Krishna's nature is Sakshi. Our nature is to enjoy it. Isn't it? Our nature is to enjoy it. That is the difference. So that is why, knowing all these things, well, while summarizing this Ekadasha Skandam, Melpathur says to Krishna, Jivan muktaktvam evam vidhamiti vajasa kimbhalam dura dure tannama shuddha buddhe nachalaghumanasa shodhanam bhakti tonyal tanme vrishno krishishta toikrita sakalam prarpanam bhakti bharam yenasyam mangshu kinchil guru vachanamilam taltodal tattul prabodas tadhalmam. After saying this, summarizing these Upanishad verses, Mirpatur said to Krishna, Jivan muktattvam evam vidhamidi vajasa kimbalam dura dure. Krishna has spoken about the liberated state, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, you see in the second chapter, Krishna talks about the Jivan mukta state. While remaining in the body, separated from the body. Melpathur asked Krishna this question, what is the point in saying all these things, Jivan Mukta state? How is it going to help? He said, why? Tannama shuddha buddher nacha leghumanasa shodhanam bhakti tonyal. One who has not purified his consciousness, this situation what Krishna has spoken in the second chapter of that realized state, freedom from the body. All those things, Bhadadri says to Krishna, is far away for him. When inside is not pure. Isn't it? That's what he's saying here. Jivan muktattvam evam vidhamidi vajasa kimbhalam dura dure. What is the benefit of all this, saying all these things? Because kimbhalam dura dure, it is so far away. Why? Tannama shuddha buddher naja leghumanasa shodhanam bhakti tonyal. That means that it is too far for a person whose inside is full of ragadvesham, kartrutva bhoktrutvam, all kinds of impurities inside. For him, this state of jivanmukta state, what Krishna has spoken, is very, very far, he says. So, tanme vishno krishishta. Therefore, O Vishnu, addressing Krishna, O Vishnu, tanme Vishnu, Krishna, krishishta, toi krita sakalam prarpanam bhakti bhavam, bhakti bharam. In order to clear up that dirt inside, the impurities inside, there is no other process better than bhakti, execute bhakti. There is no other way, says, Mirpatur says there, Bhagavatam also says the same thing. So that is the purpose of the bhakti. Bhakti purifies us, and that purification, of course, that process is chanting the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and absorbing in satsangam. In this way, bhakti has to develop in the heart. When bhakti develops in the heart, manashuddhi, chitta shuddhi will happen. Leghu manasa shodhanam bhakti to anyal. Bhakti only is the process to which purify inside. There is no other process. So give me that bhakti, he says to him. Yenasyam mangshu kinjil guru vachanamilam tulbhada palprabhoda stodalma. If you give me that, then very easily it is possible Guruvachanamilal tulprabhodam todalma. Very easily, once I have got that purity inside, then it is very easy for me to get the proper instructions from my spiritual master, and then it will have its immediate effect in me from the tatvajnanam or tatvabadesham. Tatvajnanam will happen and I will realize the truth, said Bhattatri to Krishna. Mirpatur said this to Krishna. Jivan muktaktvam evam vidhamidi vajasa kimbhalam dura dure tannama shuddha buddher najalekhumanasa shodhanam bhakti donyal tanme vishno krishishta toi krita sagalam prarpanam bhakti bharam yena syal mangsho kinjal guru vachanamilam tulpa bhoda todalma. So after saying this to Krishna, says to him that first of all, I have to know myself. The chitta shuddhi has to happen. My intelligence has to be pure. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. I'll keep on reading Bhagavad Gita and I'll take notice of all what you have said. Jivan Mukta state, what you have spoken in the second chapter. Freedom from the body. Dehastobina, dehasta. All those things, I will, on an intellectual level, I will understand everything. And I'll keep it there. But what is the point, he says. It's not going to help, because in order that experience to come inside, that dirt or the filth in the intelligence has to go. And there is only one way for that. So, that what is that process? But Melpathur is crying to Krishna, give me bhakti, he says. Give me bhakti because I know, he says, if I have bhakti, bhakti will purify my heart. If the proper bhakti develops, it will purify the heart. I am executing sadhana, everything, but still, unless there is bhakti means bhakti has to, Krishna has to give it to us. When that bhakti comes, automatically that purification will happen. So this is where the devotee's strength, that devotees are always knowing very well, that unless Andaryami, Krishna inside, that is what Krishna mentions in that verse also. If you look at it, you will see there, mentions, Tesham evanukambartam ahamajnanajam tama. What is that anukamba? Anukamba is this, that he gives that bhakti inside and purifies the place. With the result of that, ajnanajam tama, that ajnanam tamasa will go. But then he says to Krishna, it is possible that once you give me bhakti, it will solve the problem. Other things will, very easily it will happen. It's not a problem. Problem is that I have this block inside. The impurities in my mind and the intelligence. So, therefore he mentions like that, that therefore the only thing is to pray to Krishna. To pray to Krishna. Or cry to Krishna to give bhakti. There is no other way. There is no other way. We feel sometimes, to say this, people feel that, oh, I have to cry now at this stage in life. But we don't have to feel shy about it, because when we came to this world, all of us didn't come laughing here. Did we? I don't think so far anyone has come to this world smiling. The appearance in this world, so we don't have to feel shy about it. All of us have come here crying only. And came with crying and leaving also crying. There's not much difference. In between, we are laughing. In the middle, there is a little bit of laughing goes on. But otherwise, every one of us have come here crying. So, and help came, isn't it? When we were born, we didn't know who father, who mother is it? And we didn't even know that we will get some help from somewhere. So who arranged all these things while we were inside and when we came out first? We had no idea where we have come. We just came. One day we came here. When we came here, came, and Krishna has given us this process, you cry, he said. You cry, help will come. He arranged the help also in the form of father and mother. Later on, much later it is, after we have injected this idea into his head, I am your father, I am your mother, or then he started calling us father and mother. Otherwise, what does he know about father and mother? He doesn't know anything. Then we, little by little, we have taught him all our great knowledge, what we have got. We have trained him up in our in our parambara, we brought him into our parambara in that way. Told him, you have to celebrate all these things, but because we, that's our menu. All our generation after generation we are doing this, and we can't do without that. And we have to continue doing this. So all our ajnanam also we have taught them. Not much ajnanam, only ajnanam we have trained them. Everything. So the child, baby cries when he comes out, and the relief comes from somewhere, isn't it? So similarly, bhakti also can come if someone is sincerely approaching Krishna. Now, there is a, always a, every devotee has cried in front of Krishna. They have cried for the relief, because the we say we should not ask anything from Krishna. But bhakti one can ask from Krishna. It is not... you see, what you have to remember here is that people pray to Krishna. We all say to each other, oh, you pray to Krishna, whatever you want, you will get it. But if you are suffering, oh, it will take it away from you, miseries. And we also say to them, oh, if you want to get a good job, pray to Krishna, go for the interview and pray to Krishna, you'll be alright, you'll get it. Or things like that, so many other things also, we say to people to pray for it, isn't it? But if you look into devotees, proper devotees, they didn't pray to Krishna for those things. Even when they have prayed sometime, there are instances when they have asked for money from Krishna. They've asked so many things. But while asking for it, the goal inside is still self-realization. That is what you should not forget. When we are asking, our goal is not self-realization. We are selfish people. We will ask for some relief from the problems, from life. That is the difference between those who are praying in their way. Pure devotees, when they pray to Krishna, is different. Pure devotees, when they pray, they don't pray from Krishna that you solve my this problem, family problem or other problem. Their goal is very well fixed inside as the realizing the truth, realizing the self. Only in the case of even if some material disturbance, they'll give you so many examples that even they may need something in this world, in their survival in this world. They may ask for it from Krishna. I think it was Sundaramurti Swamiji asked Shiva, I want money, give me money, he said. But when he was asking for it, he was not absorbed, and not only that, he told Shiva that I can't carry this money to the other place where he was traveling to. So Shiva says to him, you throw the money in the tank here, go to the other place and pick it up from the other tank, he said. In fact, he is the personality who first started this credit card business. Strictly speaking, he said, you put the money here and pick it up from there, he said. And Sundaramurti did that. If you study his life, you'll see. He did that. But just because he did that, he's not in our state, in the same way we are like. He was always fixed in the getting out of this material life once for all. Wanted to leave this place forever. And that is what was always in his mind. But in that misery, little things will come and go like this. In their life, you will always notice like this. So that is why that you can see this also. Jnana Sambandha's story also, you will see the same thing. He cried for the milk when he wanted the milk, little boy, 3 years old, he sat there and cried for that. And when he was fed, Sri Parvati came and fed her with the milk. And so therefore, if you execute bhakti, it is possible, Krishna says, we don't have to know Krishna to execute bhakti. Krishna is present within the heart of everyone, as Antaryami will know what you actually need. And he will do. He may not do the way we want him to do it. That's another thing. So therefore, that vastu who is sushma, that is what Krishna is saying here. Tesham evanukambartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayami alma bhavasto jnana dibena bhaswada. That Antaryami's potency, Krishna is pointing out to us, who is present inside the heart of everyone, is capable of knowing your genuine desire, and if you are fixed on the spiritual life with the idea of leaving this material life once for all, and you want to free yourself, in that process, whatever distress comes, Krishna will alleviate that. That's all. In the process of advancing in the path of spiritual life and realizing the self, even if some disturbances come for the body and the mind, Krishna will help to resolve that. But without any desire for realizing the truth, completely staying even from self-realization, in order to execute our own selfish interests in this world and to help our selfish plans, praying won't help. There Krishna puts the condition, according to Prarabdham you will get it. That's all. That's a big difference there. Those who are fixed in spiritual life with the sole purpose of realizing the truth and going back to spiritual world, or to realizing the truth, who wants to escape from here once for all, in their execution of life in this world, if some difficulties do come, there will come, it will come, according to Prarabdham, so many things will come. Those things Krishna will take care of, but not otherwise. Because we go to Krishna with all our selfish plans, isn't it? So many swartha buddhi between us. And then we say, oh, pray, pray, everybody will tell everyone, pray, pray, as much as you want you pray. And then you say, oh, we have all, and you tell everybody else, oh, pray for this, pray for that. No, it doesn't work like that. This praying is also has got its own rules and regulations. The strings attached to it. It's not so straightforward like that, the praying thing. So that is why it mentions here, Nashayami Atma Bhavasam. Atma Bhavasa, Krishna says. That Atma Bhavasa means as Andaryami inside. Atma Bhav. That is that Andaryami inside. The subsoul who is present inside. And he will light up that lamp inside in such a way that when that lamp burns inside, that jnanam, knowledge will come out. Knowledge will come out from that, and it will destroy that darkness, tamas, ajnanajam tamam. That from ajnanam came that darkness, and that darkness Krishna will destroy inside us. That's all what that verse is saying to us. So that is why it mentions here that the in order to for that to happen, then that vivekam is necessary. Vivekam means that fineness inside, to able to discriminate, that fineness inside, that fineness inside. So we also have certain discriminative power, isn't it? All of us have some discrimination power. Only thing is, our discriminative power is only with reference to material life. Material life, we have a discriminative power, isn't it? Animals have also got it to discriminate. They know when the danger is coming, from which direction it's coming, and they also sense the changes in the weather. They also know so many things. That discrimination, that capacity to discriminate, that is in there also. And you can also see here that children also have got it, that discriminative power. Little by little, they, just like you can see, if you get, scold a child or shouts at him, he'll cry. He'll cry. And if you show some love and affection, he will do what you want him to do. This is all in that nature in them, that discriminative power in them. So it is there, naturally it is there, and he also knows, a child knows, what is a good time to ask the father or mother what he wants, the mood. He knows, he'll come to the child, will come to the parents, and look at the mood. If it is the right mood, they will put for their desires, they'll tell them. And if they know that the parents are upset, they are not in a happy state, they will not say anything, they'll keep quiet. So that discrimination power is in everybody. It is given to everyone. So so this discrimination power, and they also know, is it a good time to go to the father or mother, or is it a bad time? And that's a biological discrimination power inside them. And that everybody gets it in a natural way, in a genetic way, everybody gets that power, isn't it? And similarly, we also know that certain foods we consider, it's okay for me, if I take that food, I'm okay, it won't disturb my body. And some other people know that certain foods will suit them. So like this, in every stage in life, you know how to discriminate. In all material life, we are discriminating all the time, isn't it? So, but a child, when he comes out, he knows that the milk is stored in the mother's breasts. The baby knows that. How does that? As soon as the baby is taken, baby looks for the breast to get the milk. It knows that it is stored there. And that is, in a natural way, it is kept there, this discrimination power, where the food is stored. The baby knows that, and baby naturally looks for that. In animals also, if you look, you will see the same thing. The calf looks for the udder, or the cow, isn't it? And you look into any other species, you will see the same thing. Tigers, leopards, lions also, you will see they'll go where to get the milk, they know it. In a natural way, it is put into them by the genetically, it is there in them. But this same discriminatory power has to come inside as far as the soul is concerned. And in order to, it is there inside us, that power is inside that, but only in material life that we have got it at the moment. But to wake that power inside, that is what Krishna is saying here. That in order to wake up that power inside, there Krishna's help is necessary. Without that, it won't wake up inside. That is why that word, jnana deepena bhaswata, Krishna says there. In that verse, tesham evanu kambartham. It's a very beautiful verse. Aham ajnanajam tama nashayami alma. How Krishna does that? That is what is explained in there. Nashayami Alma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada, he says. See how it works? Tesham, first of all, through bhakti process, Krishna says through bhakti, when chittam is purified and we have a pure conscious, pure subtle body inside without ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, through bhakti that has to be rid of from inside. That is the process of chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship, everything is a part of that bhakti process. Sadhana bhakti, it has to purify inside. When that happens, Krishna says that aham ajnanajam tama, from ajnanam tamas has come. Ajnanam means ignorance, avidya. From avidya came darkness. It's a big darkness there. In the darkness, what happens? You can't locate your identity. That is our greatest darkness inside, that we have forgotten who we are. Is it not? So ajnanajam tama, that tamas will go away from inside. Then nashayami alma bhavastho, I am situated in everyone inside as alma. Krishna doesn't come from outside and remove it. Inside, who is present as sandaryami, he does that. Alma bhavastho, very specifically Krishna mentions there. Nashayami alma bhavastho jnana deepena bhaswada, I light from inside. I give that discrimination power, what he has got in material life, I'll give that in spiritual side also. And when he gets that discrimination inside, he will know that he is not the body, he is the soul. This is what happens. This is that progress, what happens inside. Discriminative power is in all of us. Every one of us have got. Animals have got, we have got. But only thing is, it is limited to the world and the bodily needs and other things. Not in reference to the spiritual side of it. But when Krishna's jnana deepena bhaswada, when Krishna wants that, what will happen is the same discrimination power will develop inside in such a way that no more we will identify with the body. Then we will realize it, we are not the body. Not before that. Only at that point, this realization will happen, I am not this body. And that is what Krishna is saying there in that verse. Nashayami alma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. Krishna says, I will wake up that discriminative power inside. And then, first of all, he realizes that I am not this body. And he also says there that I am something beyond this body, not this body. That will wake up. So this will happen to anyone. It is not... Not that only someone who has come through one tradition will have it. It has happened in many places in the world, this realization. Many, many people had this realization also. And it is not necessary only through the Vedic process it will happen. No. Because If you are meeting these conditions inside, it can happen anywhere. Doesn't matter where it is, who it is. As long as these conditions are met. For example, someone, he may not have studied the Vedic literature, but it is possible that due to various experiences in life, he has come to the understanding that I must remain in a surrendered state in life. And he started realizing, little by little, he came to realize inside that there is another identity for me separated from this body. When it happens, when he little by little gets released from the due to vairagyam and due to detachment from this world, he gets released from the impurities inside. The mind gets purified, and in that state, super soul who is present inside, he will instruct him properly and give the discrimination to him. So therefore, it's not that everyone will have to study Bhagavad Gita and come to that. But Bhagavad Gita is explaining to us the science behind it. That's how it works. That's all Bhagavad Gita does. Bhagavad Gita will never tell you only if you study Bhagavad Gita it will happen. No. Bhagavad Gita says to us that this is the process how it happens. That's what he's saying here. That many personalities, if you look into their life, they have realized the truth, not through these processes only. Many people have come up in spiritual life very powerfully, that some people who are absorbed in various activities in their childhood, but later on they realize that suddenly a wake up happened inside. It has woken up inside, and they started thinking. They started thinking that, am I something beyond this body? This is the first question, isn't it? Am I something beyond this body? Because that is a very interesting question to ask. What is my identity? Am I something beyond this body? So when you start inquiring about that, and this awareness inside, which is comes in the aham asmi, that spurti, Bhagavatam calls it as spurti. And due to the power of that reflection inside, and the proper inquiry of the self, in due course of time, you are also asking this question, what is that noise going on inside? Tuck, 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 all that. You don't have to study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but any common person can ask that question, isn't it? Why we have a setup like this, that this noise is going on inside? You may say an answer to that, that because it is pumping, the heart is pumping and all that. And that is a scientific way of explaining it. But spiritually, you have to ask the question, Krishna has created this body, and maybe because Krishna was doing the engineering in such a way that he put a half horsepower pump or something like that there. No, it's not that. Why is this a system? This thing is going on while in the deep sleep, while in the vacant state, in the dream state, all the time. And Krishna explained that in the Bhagavatam, what we saw before, a tree is standing there, a bird comes and sits on the tree, and the woodcutter comes and starts cutting the tree. Every time he cuts, first time he cut it with the axe, that is one tuck. He kept on cutting, tuck, 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 he keeps cutting. And one day the tree falls. In a similar way, this tuck, tuck is going on only to indicate to us cutting is going on inside, and one day this tree will fall. Doctors are telling us it is for the sake of to chest taste check whether there is life in the body. They tell us it is for testing whether there is life in the body. This tuck, tuck, tuck sound inside. Krishna is telling us, no, it's not for finding out whether there is life in the body. Krishna is saying to us that the cutter is cutting the wood. And when the woodcutter is cutting the tree like this, one day, one last cut will happen. That is death. And the tree will fall. When the tree falls, what happens? The bird flies off. Bird doesn't think about this tree anymore. That tree has gone, I'll go and find out another tree. Similarly, the soul also leaves this body in the same way. At no time, soul has any connection with the body. This is the important thing. Soul has no connection. But in ajnanam and avidya, we are thinking, I am connected with the body. And that is what is very difficult to take out from inside. Take out from inside. So, so for a short period of time, if this realization happens, that these examples also will indicate to us that the nature of the soul is that this amazing thing inside the soul, how it behaves in all circumstances, isn't it? The nature of the soul is like that. How it behaves in all the circumstances. That is why Krishna calls it as what? In the Bhagavad Gita, what did he say? Ascharyaval pashyati kaschidenam. He says, isn't it? It's an ascharyam it is, he says. The soul. Krishna says this. It is an ascharyam. Ascharyam means an amazing thing. How the soul lives in the body. Isn't it? Sometimes we misunderstand about it because we think that we are very close all the time. We are not close. It appears as though we are close. That's all. It appears as though we are close. He is so separate from us and he fly off. When he has to leave, he will go. In between, all these things are happening. The cutting, the wood cutting business goes on inside. So, so even for a short period of time, this experience is happens to us. When that realization comes to us, that I am separate from this body, even for a short period of time, that is called prajna. That is called prajna. What is the nature that for whom this prajna has come? For them, the shastram is of great, immense help. For those who got that prajna inside. Till that prajna comes, shastram is not of much help. It will remain as a educational tool. That's all. But those who have reached that prajna state means that some separation inside, I'm different from the body. That realization. To some extent, if it has happened, that is pratibhijna. For them, shastram will help. Because this prajna, Krishna says here, in whom this prajna wakes up and he will start realizing that this amazing experience of the soul, because this is a topic about us. That's what it makes it interesting. Up to this point, what we are discussing about is not about us. Throughout life, we are not discussing about us, we are discussing about the body. Isn't it? Why this makes it interesting is, when this prajna wakes up inside, pratyabhijna we called before, prajna, pratyabhijna, it's all the same thing. When that wakes up inside, and when that realization comes in, to a small degree even, okay, you may experience all the miseries of the body still, but inside your intelligence has become a little bit finer and started realizing that I have nothing to do with this body, I'm something different from this body. If that has come in a proper way inside, he will be immensely benefited by the shastram. Shastram can help him a lot after that. Reason being here is that it is at that point you are talking about yourself. Up to that point you are not discussing about yourself. You are discussing about something different what you are not. Isn't it? When you are discussing about your body, you are discussing about something which you are not. Discussing about the mind, you are discussing about something which you are not. Intelligence, same thing. Ego, same thing. Senses, same thing. Nothing has anything to do with us. Only when you start discussing about the soul, you are discussing about yourself. Otherwise, you are not discussing about you. See that? So that understanding, that is what Krishna is saying. Krishna is somehow or the other trying to get us out of this identity with this body. That is why he said, that is why last resort. Remember yesterday we talked about this. The first three verses, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandema buddha bhava samanvita. One. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanticha ramanticha. Then Krishna said, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami buddhiyogam dam yenamam upayandide. These three verses are the proper process to go through. Process to go through. In there, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, all three things are coming there through that. And if you follow, but as I said yesterday, our pathetic situation. At this stage in life now, to go through that process is going to be impossible. Practically not possible. Krishna knows that. So therefore the last option, which is this verse, Tesham evanu kampartham aham ajnanajam tamam nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhasvata. We better to hold on to that. That is where there's some possibility, some hope. In other three verses, there is not a lot of hope there, to be honest about that. That's the way it is. Krishna is saying like that. So therefore, he says that knowledge, when it wakes up inside about us, and that is an amazing thing, when you start talking about yourself, about the soul. At the moment, when the jiva is talking about himself, sometimes we criticize people, isn't it? Oh, he's always talking about himself. Actually, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about his ego. That's what he's talking. He's not talking about himself, because he doesn't know who he is. So whatever he's talking about based on his ego, what he's talking about, isn't it? So it is at that stage that that is not created inside this body. Which one? Our identity. It's not created inside this body. I'm not this body, mind is not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the intelligence, none of them. Then who am I? That is where that awareness, consciousness comes in, isn't it? So so this vijaram, that thoughtful nature, and that nature has woken up inside, and if he gets that, little by little, when he wakes up that false ego will withdraw from inside. Because why do we identify with false ego? Because we don't know our real identity, that is why. When that happens, this false ego will leave us. Because we will leave it as we left so many other things. Just like we left the body, we left the mind, we left the intelligence, we leave the ego also in the same way. So, and where does that go, that ego? Ego goes and dissolves in the source where it came from Chit Shakti. You can see this every day, it's happening in Sushupti, isn't it? What's happening in Sushupti? The same thing. This amazing thing called ego, what we are very hard fighting against it. We always say in bhakti process, I want to purify myself. I want to become humble. People will always ask this question. Have you heard? How to become humble? They will ask. The answer is, go to deep sleep. That's the answer. What more can you answer? Where is your ego then? You are so concerned about your ego. You every time in bhakti, oh Prabhu, I want to surrender. I want to be humble. And I want to be this, that and the other. So many things we say. But we don't think about Sushupti, do we? What happens in Sushupti? Where is your ego then? It's gone. So that is what Krishna is saying here. In Sushupti, that unconsciously, it goes and surrenders that ego. That's all it is. We don't have to get frightened about this ego too much. People are always frightened. Oh, this ego, I don't know, I don't think I'll ever make it, they say. No, you can make it, it will happen. Only thing is, if you go through this vijaram process, that's in Sushupti state, unconsciously, you are surrendering. In the vacant state, you find it difficult to surrender, isn't it? You can say difficult to surrender. But in conscious, if the same thing happened in the vacant state consciously, then you will know, you have got rid of the problem. Problem is over. So at that time, our swarupam, which is shanti or awareness and blissful nature of the soul will manifest, and then you will know, like in the deep sleep state, when you had no bondage, you had no connection with this world, Ubhadi Sambandham. Ubhadi Sambandham means connection with the body, mind, intelligence and ego. That's broken in the deep sleep state. That Ubhadi Sambandham goes away in the vacant state. In the same way. It will go away in the vacant state. And that at that time, exactly like in the Sushupti, what you have experienced in the form of that Anandam or bliss or Shanti, it will come back to him. It will come back to him. It will come back to him. That is the process what Krishna is talking about here. Vishaya Vyavrtam, I will read this. Vishaya Vyavrtam Chitta Ragadvesha Kalushidam Nivadapa Varagastena Nitya Pravrti Agagra Dhyana Janida Samyak Darshana Bhaswada Sthana Deepena Ityartaha. So when this happens, that when the mind has freed itself from the topics of this world and it has turned inwards looking, at that time what they call it as Samyak Darshanam. Remember this word? Samyak Darshanam. Krishna uses this in the Bhagavad Gita many times. And that Samyak Darshanam, another word what they call it as Nirvikalpa Bodham. There are so many words in the philosophical language for explaining the same state. Samyak Darshanam is one word. Samyak Darshanam means that you have withdrawn from the world and you have seen, experienced that awareness of the soul inside. Nirvikalpa bhodam. Nirvikalpam means what? There is no division there. No vikalpam. That is called nirvikalpam. Vikalpam is what? Vikalpam is bringing all other thoughts inside. Is it not? Chittavritti comes. That is called vikalpam. So, nirvikalpam state, there is no mind. Mind is not operating. You are completely conscious of that purity of the soul. Purified nature of the consciousness is experienced here. So there is something interesting here. When that nirvikalpa bodham comes, Vidyarani Swamiji's discussion about this says here, when you come to know about yourself, that is when it happens. Up to this point, you have not known about yourself. You have known about your body, mind, intelligence and all. When you get to know about yourself, he says here, just like you know that you are not this body, and you come to know what you are, that you are spiritual nature. Nature is spiritual. And when that experience, he says here, Vidyarani Swami says in the Panchadashi, he mentions this, all that, he says, what I have spoken, if you are not understood, doesn't matter, he says. As much if you understand this little thing all the time, that even if it is very difficult to engage in the inquiry about the self, inquiring about the self, if you just keep on thinking that, I have nothing to do with this body, he says. If you think like that, that will one day take you to the understanding that I have a different identity. He says, if you just think all the time that I have nothing to do with this body. In other words, always keeping yourself separate from the body. Separate from the body. That is, for some people, Krishna's presence is like that, Ishvara's form. So, according to that mercy or grace of Krishna, one will get that bhavam, mood inside. So, or dhyanam, meditation inside. So, it's not thought anymore, it is dhyanam. Dhyanam and thought is two different things. Thought is chittavritti. Dhyanam is meditation. There's difference there, isn't it? Chittavritti is come and goes. Dhyanam means you are able to hold on to that. And you, instead of identifying with the chittavritti, you identify it with the dhyanam. There is a difference. In dhyanam state, that's where dhyana yogam, that sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about, isn't it? What is the difference between dhyanam and chittavritti? Chittavritti will come and it will go. It won't stay. And chittavritti moves away. When dhyanam comes, you will be able to stay with it. Uninterrupted it is. Chittavritti you can't hold on, isn't it? You know yourself. When you one thought comes and you are thinking about something, before you know the second thought has come and the first one has gone. That is not dhyanam, that is chittavritti. Dhyanam is continuous, not able to break away from that. And that uninterrupted state is called dhyanam. So that's why Krishna mentions that this situation will happen if you constantly keep on to this, understanding that I am not this body, I am the soul. If nothing else can be done, although it may take a longer time to come. But unfortunately, even when we are thinking that, some other thoughts will come and that will go. That will not stay. Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham. He mentions like that. So that is what Hastamalingam did. He said, Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham. I am that. I am auspiciousness, I am auspiciousness, I am auspiciousness. He says like that. So in that state, what Krishna has spoken here, when that ajnanam has gone inside, and our identity with that chit-shakti, which is the nature of the soul, when that identification comes inside, one experience knows also very well that none of these impurities can touch the soul. Mind can be touched by the impurities. Intelligence can be touched by the impurities. Soul cannot be touched by any impurity. That realization will come at that time. So that is why when the realized souls, many examples are there, when they talk about the self, they will always put along with their statement, Chidananda Rupam, Shivoham, Shivoham, Chidananda. I am I am full of knowledge, I am full of bliss, and I am pure. I am pure, I am full of knowledge, I am bliss. That they have to declare that. Why do they declare that? Because in their experience at that moment, there is no impurities in the self. There is no impurities in the self. It's a very interesting thing. That at the moment we are complaining. Oh, I got so many problems. I get angry. I get depressed. I get various kinds of things. We complain about ourselves, isn't it? I wish I could do better. That is all statements coming from ignorance. In me there is no anger. In me there is no lust. In me there is no greed. It's all in the mind. So when that separation happens between the self and the non-self, then you will realize all these things you are complaining about was not about you, rather about the body and the mind. That also will happen at that time. We have so many problems in this world, dealing with so many people, isn't it? Everyone gives you trouble. And you start thinking that, oh, what should I do with this man? What should I do with that person? Well, ultimately, it is the interaction between two non-entities. It is not between this self and the other self. There is no problem there. It's all happening in the very gross level through the body and the mind and the ego. That's all it is, playing these games each other. So that's why when this dhyanam or meditation comes, then it mentions here that it's like a dhara, continuous flow. It will happen inside. And Krishna says here, jnana deepam. Jnana deepam, Krishna calls it as jnana deepam. And that same thing is mentioned is here, it is nivata deepam. Nivata deepam, in the commentary it is mentioned like that. That in other words, at that point, there is no, what is that jnana deepam does? No more interest in the senses or sense objects. No more interest in the sense or sense objects. And not only that, the things called mind, intelligence, they all become without any flicker. They become very stable. Our mind and intelligence is always in a vibrant state, isn't it? Ready to respond any time. So that goes away from that. And Krishna says that, and this knowledge, what has happened to that, that means without vichiti. Vichiti means interruption. Vichiti means interruption. Without interruption happening to that, one has to protect that. And for that, vairagyam is necessary. Vairagyam is necessary. That otherwise it won't happen. If there is no vairagyam, renunciation inside, it will not stay. It will go. So jnanam, remember this, we mentioned this before also. Out of the three, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, they mutually support each other. Isn't it? Mutually support each other. Without bhakti, jnanam cannot stay. It will simply become an intellectual exercise. Without bhakti, if one takes to knowledge process, it will simply become an intellectual exercise. It will not sink into the consciousness. It will remain on the intellectual platform. Without vairagyam, if we execute knowledge, what will happen is, it won't get firmly grounded inside. It will flicker all the time. It will come and go, come and go. That's what will happen. Without jnanam, if you execute bhakti, what will happen? It will become turn out to be completely sentimental level. And then it will be the question of asking Krishna, give me this, give me that. And it will become more into a selfish side. It will not be proper bhakti, what Krishna has spoken about. So all these three things, bhakti, jnana, vairagyam, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they have to work together in anyone. And the way it happens is here, that when this jnana dibena bhaswada, if that jnanam, what Krishna says here, if it has to stay inside, vairagyam must be there in that person. Otherwise, jnana dibam won't work. Krishna will light that jnana dibam. What Krishna mentions here, that jnana dibena bhaswada, tesham eva anukambartam, aham jnana jantama, nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dibena bhaswada. In order that jnana dibam to keep going, vairagyam is necessary. Vairagyam is necessary. Vairagyam is the fort that will protect that deepam, light from getting extinguished. Because vyavaharam will do that. If you mix your knowledge with jnanam you will destroy yourself. That is the warning Krishna is saying here. In Vyavaharam, that is what normally happens, isn't it? You will take Bhagavad Gita, study Bhagavad Gita, and then you will, what happens? Next thing is, what can I do with Bhagavad Gita in my Vyavaharam? This is what has happened to many people, isn't it? They'll start saying, that is how all these courses, seminars and everything has come about from this. After studying all Bhagavad Gita, he realized that there is some money to be made here. Once that means what you have done is, you have taken Bhagavad Gita, brought Krishna and completely diluted in the world. Instead of taking the world and diluting it in Krishna, we have brought Krishna and diluted in the world. Dissolved it in the world. And that is dangerous. That's why. So in order that not to happen, so that is why in the Janamargam they talk about Uparati. There is a process, Uparati. Shamam, Damam, Titiksha, Uparati. Uparati is this, that whatever Vyavaharam you have to give up, you have to give up for the sake of protecting that knowledge. And always situated, staying with that absolute state. Absolute state. So all this is only possible if there is Krishna's grace. Otherwise it's not possible by your own effort. So otherwise, who else can get out of this state? Impossible. That is first condition. Krishna's grace is the first thing that has to come. Without that, by our effort, if we think, that's why they call it as a Padmavyuham. Remember Padmavyuham in Mahabharatam war, that after Abhimanyu was killed, the next day Duryodhana and Bhishma and others wanted to protect Jayadratha from Arjuna. So that evening they made the plan, they will create this what they call as Padmavyuham. Padmavyuham in their process was the most difficult thing to break through. And that is that night Arjuna says to Krishna that how am I going to break through this, he said. And Krishna had to do a lot of things to hold the sun back and create darkness and so many things. In Mahabharata you will see all that. So it is like breaking through that Padmavyuham, as difficult it is as it is to get out of this bodily identity. What we are identifying today with the body, mind, although we know very well soul has nothing to do with it. We know very well soul has nothing to do with it. Soul is not touched by any of these impurities of ego or anger or ragam, duesham, attachment, aversion, kartrutva, both. None of them is there in the soul. Still, as soon as we come out, everything is back again. For a moment you recognize it, but very quickly you lose that. So that is why, in order to get out of this Padmavyuham, unless there is, like Krishna helped Arjuna to kill Jayadratha that day, only through Krishna's help Arjuna managed to do that, is it not? Otherwise Arjuna couldn't have killed Jayadratha that day. And Arjuna will have to give up his own life. That was the vow he has taken. That if I don't kill Jayadratha tonight before the sun sets, he said that I'll give up my life. On that understanding, Arjuna came to the war next day. And everything happened due to Krishna's grace. Similarly, this is also another Padmavyuham, this body. Freeing from this body is as difficult as killing Arjuna found in killing Jayadratha, if not more difficult than that. That's how difficult it is. So that is why that, but Krishna is saying, if that anukamba, that is Krishna's grace, tesham evanukambartham aham ajnanajam tama nashayami alma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvada. So there are examples, Mahatmas gives different examples to make us, to teach us these things, how it works out. That one girl became pregnant and her pregnancy is progressing close to baby, birth of the baby. So she has a mother-in-law. The girl has a mother-in-law. Normally mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is always a problem. Isn't it? Everywhere in the world, I suppose. It's always happened. So anyway, the story goes that the mother-in-law is a good mother-in-law. She is not very harsh with the daughter-in-law. So mother says to the daughter-in-law, don't do a lot of work now that you have the baby. So give her more and more. She takes more and more responsibility, in other words. Mother-in-law takes a lot of responsibility. and free the daughter-in-law from doing a lot of work in the house. So as soon as the baby is very close to be born, at that time mother-in-law says, I'll manage everything, you look after the baby. And when the child is born, then the only responsibility is to look after the baby after that, isn't it? Similarly, for Jiva also, for us, for every living entity also, this knowledge what is going on inside, it's like taking birth. Another garbham it is. And when it starts growing, and then you are ready to have the baby, in a similar situation like that, that till you get that complete experience of the self and realize the truth, that material nature, Prakriti, she also will operate in such a way that both these two things, Vidya Shakti and Avidya Shakti, both are her creation, isn't it? Prakriti puts it into us, Vidya Shakti and Avidya Shakti, both. She will act in such a way and that will do what is necessary to protect that inside us, provided we are going in that path. If you are going in that path, and if you have become very, very serious about self-realization, and you are progressing in that path, and Prakriti knows that it is growing inside, the baby is growing inside. What is that baby? The knowledge. If it is growing inside, Prakriti will make sure that she will take away one after the other most of the obstacles that is going to disturb your progress on the spiritual life. That is also there in Krishna's arrangement. It will be sometimes surprising for us. We complain about Krishna all the time. Oh, Krishna has caused me this prarabdham, that prarabdham and all that. What is actually causing the problem is that inside that intense desire hasn't come yet for freeing ourselves from this state, from this existence. So therefore, so how Krishna does that, what Prakriti does to us, it is called Vidya Shakti or Avidya Shakti. So, those energies, Prakriti's energies, they will serve that person in such a way so that this jnanam, knowledge of the soul, will grow inside. So, and she knows very well how to get him free from the karma. How to get him separated from the karma. Karma, as I mentioned many times before, is the first thing you are fighting against in this world. Is karma. Most of us do not recognize it, and that is why people misunderstand sometimes when you say that when one comes to spiritual life, the first thing you have to battle with is this karma. If that is not sorted, all other things you do, whatever you like, bhakti, jnanam, whatever you may do, it is not going to have any result from that. It will remain like a show going on for the whole life. And it is very difficult to get this point across to people. Most of the time, because they are not taking Bhagavad Gita in the proper way. They are studying it on a theoretical level. That is why this difficulty is coming. Throughout Bhagavad Gita, after first six chapters, Krishna is telling us, sort your karma out first. Talk to us about karma. And finally, after talking through all the karma yogam, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, at the very end, in the last chapter, 18th chapter, when Krishna starts that chapter, the first thing he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, there is only one problem. What is that problem? Karma. Karma. 99.99% of the people are stuck in this place, in this thing called karma, unable to escape from that, not knowing what is the right thing to do. We keep on doing things and unable to stop it also happening. So many desires inside, pulling it outside all the time in different directions. So when that situation comes, that material nature, when she knows that this person is ready for the spiritual advancement or self-realization, she will create situation in such a way that you will be freed yourself from the disaster of this thing called karma. This thing called karma. Why karma yogam? Only for getting out of karma. That's why karma yogam was spoken, to free, get yourself free from the karma. Isn't it? So, throughout Bhagavad Gita, you will notice this. And if you study Bhagavad Gita and study the comment, bhashyams on this, they are explaining this to us, How important it is, this understanding necessary in spiritual life. So she knows, materialization knows, that he has to be released from the karma. Otherwise there is not. First we have to release or free ourselves from that. After that we can talk about spiritual life. Otherwise what is going to happen? Whole lifetime engaged in all kinds of activities and then thinking that at the moment, at the finally we'll be all going back to the spiritual world. How is that possible? Because we are here because karmam and prarabdham has brought us here, first of all. And we have been freed ourselves from that even. And where is the question of breaking away from this world? We'll go but we'll be back again. We will buy our return ticket. We won't go with single fare. It will be definitely a return ticket when you leave this place. You won't go from here with one-way ticket. You'll come back, go with the return ticket from here. You'll go there and you'll see, when can I get back here? Because karma vasana is still there. So, and then karma vasana we have brought even into bhakti. Expecting all the results to come for whatever we have done. These two things, I've done this, I want the result. I've done this, I want the result. This is what is in us very deeply. And that same thing will come into our spiritual life also, and there is problem there. In one instance, Krishna told Narada Muni once, that it is in the Mahabharatam, this story. Krishna says to Narada Muni, let's go to this world, our planet. Go there and let's see some of our devotees there. Krishna says to Narada Muni, we'll go and see some of our devotees. So the Narada Muni was very interested to see what kind of devotees we have got in this world. So first thing, he went there. They went and knocked at one door. There was one devotee living there. He said, there's Krishna and Narada Muni. They knocked, opened the door. Krishna and Narada Muni was waiting out, standing outside. So that person said, Krishna says to him that we have come to stay this overnight at your place. Is that okay? Says the devotee says, yes, come in, he said. He brought them inside. And he was that kind of devotee. He looked after himself very well first. Although Krishna has come, he's a devotee, but he said, my comfort's first important. So in the house, there was not a lot of facilities. He had his own good bedroom and comforts, everything. So he handed over a mat or mattress to Krishna and Narada Muni and told him, you can sleep in this tonight. And saying this, and gave him something to eat. And he went to bed after that. And next day, they were both hungry. Krishna and Narada Maharshi were both hungry. And they gave him some very simple food. And when the food was offered and the place to sleep was offered, Narada Maharshi was not very impressed by his bhakti. But what kind of devotee is this, he said to Krishna, that he doesn't even look after us properly. We have come as guests and there seems to be no interest at all from his side. Anyway, yes, let us stay at least for the night. It's fine, he said. So they slept overnight there. Next day morning, they both got up and they were leaving. While leaving, devotee says to Krishna, you should bless me, he said. Krishna says, I'll bless you with everything. Many, many lifetimes live very happily in this world, he said. And you will have a nice wife, plenty of children, plenty of wealth. You will never be short of anything. Your life will be extremely happy here. And gave a very nice blessing to him, and they both left. So they left like this, and then they traveled a little bit further and reached another hut, a very poor person who was living in that hut. He went to that hut, and there was no facility for the person who was living in the hut. He himself was very poor. And Narada Maharshi says to Krishna, what's the point in visiting, giving trouble to a devotee like this? Krishna says to Narada Muni, no, let's go and see this devotee. He's a devotee, we have to go and whatever he offers, we'll take it, he said. So when they went inside, first thing, that devotee paid their obeisances to Krishna and Narada Muni and says to them that I haven't got a lot to look after you. All I have got is one cow. But if you give me a few minutes, I'll milk that cow, bring some milk from the cow and give it to you. I cannot offer you any other good feast or anything like that. 108 or 56 or 1008, nothing. Can't even give you anything very simple. All I can offer you is this simple hot milk. So he did that, and after that, when he looked at his hut, there was nothing there, practically. He had one mat to sleep and a pillow. That's what his facility, what he had. He gave that to Krishna and told Krishna, you sleep in this, I'll sleep on the floor, he said. So that night they slept there, and Narada Maharshi was trying to figure out what blessing Krishna is going to give to this person. To other person he has given all these things, isn't it? So while leaving next day morning, that person came up to Krishna and didn't say anything, kept quiet. Krishna went up to him and told him very quietly in his ears that cow what you have got, it will die. Cow is going to die very soon and everything will be alright. It's like that he told him, and Krishna and Narada Muni left. So Narada Muni didn't hear what Krishna said to that person. Narada Muni asked Krishna later, what did you bless him? He said, I told him that his cow will die very soon. Narada Maharshi looked at Krishna and says to him, I don't understand you, he said. You have gone to the other house, and that man, he didn't have any courtesy. He didn't even offer anything to eat properly. He didn't give us any place to sleep properly. And you have told him that you can have every opulence in this world for several lifetimes. And to this person who had nothing, and he has given us some nice milk and a place to sleep, whatever he has got, the best he has offered to us. And to him, you have told like this. So Krishna says to Narada Muni, Narada, you don't understand, he said. I know that person, he has meant to suffer, to whom I have offered all these opulences. So because I know, whatever I have given to him is only going to bring him distress day after day, and he's going to suffer like this. So I have given him that. Actually, he is thinking that Krishna is giving me all the mercy. But actually what I have given him is distress. Whereas this person, the poor man, to whom he had only one attachment in this world, that was that cow. And I've told him that I'll cut that attachment also, and he can go from here. He doesn't have any more attachment here. He can go back to the spiritual world. He doesn't have to come back here. So we may think in one way. When we are asking Krishna for something, it is based on our selfish motives and happiness in this world that we are asking something from Krishna. Pray, pray, pray. Keep on praying, we say to everybody. This praying is all based centered around this thing. But Krishna's way of sorting out the problem is in a different way. So that is why he mentions here that attachment, when it goes away, and that suffering, the other person was meant to suffer a long time. Therefore, I gave him that blessing. Whereas this person, I wanted to cut his bondage once for all. And you have to have that capacity to know when Krishna offers a blessing. That you need to know. We need to know that. When Krishna is giving us that mercy, we need to know how to take it properly. Otherwise, it will cause distress. So naturally, Krishna's mercy and grace and kripa, these things are difficult to know. So that is what it is. So vishade neiva vibhadev neiva vibhado na santado neiva vasantadaha. It says when difficult, vibhata means problem, when it comes it's not a problem. And similarly, when wealth comes in life, it is not wealth. That is the teaching from Krishna. Kunti Devi also said that to Krishna, isn't it? So Krishna says here, therefore, anukambartham, that word, tesham evanukambartham. So, what does that anukamba does? It removes that ajnana tamasa, ajnanajam tama, tamasa that has come from ajnanam, and inside Krishna gives that atma sarupam, atma prakasham, or illumination of the soul will happen, Krishna says. So in life also, in our own life, if you look at, you will see there are so many dimensions to it, isn't it? The way we think about things may not happen. It may happen in something different way. So best thing is to go in the route where Krishna is taking us. Whichever way it is going, go along with that, rather than trying to bring Krishna into our route. It is better to go through the route what Krishna has put through us. Only if that surrender is there, Krishna says that Jnana Deepena Bhaswada will happen. A person who is always trying to pull Krishna along his path, for him it will be very difficult. Rather, that is called that surrender. Surrender is this: whichever position, wherever Krishna has put us, in whatever condition in this world, to accept it like that. Krishna has put me here, and staying in this situation, I have to execute bhakti. That is Krishna consciousness. Not that I need this, I need that, I have to go here, I have to go there, I have to do so many things so that I could develop bhakti. That is not the principle. Principle is this: whichever situation Krishna has put in, whatever prarabdham we have to go through, in the middle of all that, if you are able to execute bhakti, that is surrender. Otherwise it's not. Like you can see, people are making all the time so many plans that they have to do so many things in this world before they say that they can start their bhakti process. So that is why he mentions here that Nashayami Alma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. Jnana Deepam, Krishna says here. And this is the same thing, this Jnana Deepam. In the Bhagavatam you will see, how does it say? Kasmayena Vibhasito Ayamadulo Jnana Pradiva Pura Tadrubena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Tadrubinam Yogindraya Dalpanada Bhagavadradaya Karunyadam Tachuddham Vimalam Vishogam Amrudam Satyam Param Dhimahi. Bhagavatam finishes with that, isn't it? Bhagavatam finishes with this verse. There also, Jnana Pradipa Pura. Here also, Krishna is saying here that Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. So, knowledge of the self or freedom from this body, mind, intelligence and ego, that is that self-realization of the soul, that has to happen at some point. Bhagavatam says exactly the same thing. No difference at all. What Krishna is saying here, Jnana Deepena Bhaswada, I'll make sure that his link with the body is cut. Whatever that's necessary, Krishna says, I'll do that. So that is why when Krishna puts us in through difficult situations, we should not any time think, why is he against me? What actually is, unfortunately, our mind is working in the opposite way. Mind is saying to us, that why Krishna is not helping me? I am chanting so many rounds, I am executing bhakti. Why is he not coming along with my plans? This is the ordinary way of thinking. And then if Krishna is giving a lot of money and everything, we tell everybody else, look how favorable Krishna is. He is helping me with so much money he is giving us. So that means he must be favorable. My bhakti will be perfect. That's why it's happening. We make the advertisement also like that, isn't it? But that is not true. If Bhagavatam is an authority, if Bhagavad Gita is an authority, that is not true. Examples of Sudama in the Bhagavatam, and here what Krishna has spoken, everything agrees this one thing. That when Krishna wants to bless someone, everywhere in the Bhagavatam you will see there, experience of the great, great devotees also, they have vouched for this. They have said this all the time, that at no point in time, you can't make your plan and bring Krishna to come along with that plan. When one surrenders to Krishna's plan and lives in that way, that is surrender to Krishna. That is the way to be. And that plan is this: whatever position, wherever Krishna has put us in, whatever situation, to stay in that state, there must be a reason. Otherwise, you are swimming against the nature, the powerful force of nature. Material nature has put us in different situations, all of us. Even in that situation, to execute bhakti, that is what Krishna is saying here in this Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. Yeah. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Kasmayena Vibhasidoyamadilo Jnana Pradiva Pura Todrubena Janaradaya Munaye Krishnaya Todrubina Yogindraya Atmanata Bhagavadradaya Karunidam Tachruddham Vimalam Vishogam Amrudam Satyam Param Dhimahi. Bhagavatam begins with Satyam Param Dhimahi, Bhagavatam finishes with Satyam Param Dhimahi. So this you can notice in these verses. So after saying this, Krishna says here, I will remove that ignorance in that person and give him the experience of the self. And so when Krishna said that, Arjuna has something to say to Krishna. After hearing all these things, these four verses particularly, all these so many verses, 11 verses in this Vibhuti Yogam, Arjuna has heard that, and we will continue after a few minutes. So when this Vibhuti, what we have seen till now in these 11 verses, what Krishna has spoken, is very important things. He has spoken, isn't it? From the beginning, if you look at it, you will see Krishna spoke so many things there. First of all, he mentioned there that I like you, therefore I'm going to tell you. Why? Hitakamyaya, not priyakamyaya. He mentioned there. Hitam, what is good for you, I'm going to tell you. That's how Krishna began this chapter. Priyam is something what you do because you like somebody. Hitam is something when you know what is good for him. And if you do it, that is hitam. So in the first verse itself, that's how Krishna began the chapter. Hitakamyaya, he said that. And then he also mentioned in the next verse that nobody understands me, he says. Name vidu suragana prabhavamna maharshaya aham adrihi devanam maharshinam ja sarvasha. Because the source here is where you have to be careful. If you start thinking as person Krishna here, there is a problem. Basically, it is not that Krishna who spoke 5,000 years ago in Kurukshetram in the battlefield, standing there, who spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He, purely on the platform of Brahman, Krishna is saying this. That I am the Antaryami inside everyone, Brahman who is present everywhere. It is from that platform Krishna is speaking this. That is why he is saying all these great sages have come from them. Prabhavamna Maharshaya, Suraganaha, all the demigods, all these great sages, they have all come from that source. That source is Brahman. It is from that source. Aham Adirhi Devanam. As that Brahman, Krishna is mentioning here, that Aham Adirhi Devanam Maharshinam Ja Sarvasha. I am the source of all these different personalities whom you see here. I am that source. And that source is awareness Aham. That awareness Aham. Aham, that aham refers to that pure consciousness. Pure consciousness. Then, and then in many verses, you'll see Krishna explained about this, that two important things about this aham. What is that? Ajam and anadi. Two things, remember? Time and space, isn't it? Ajam is time. Ajam is time. As I mentioned before, those two things are the important things, ajam and anadi. Scientists are trying to understand creation. But they cannot understand creation. Why? Because creation is happening within time and space. We talked about it, remember that? So, time and space is more important than creation. If you know time and, if you understand or if you get to know what is time and space, then you will know creation, what creation means. Because creation happens within time and space. So that is why first Krishna explains the nature of that consciousness. What is that? Ajam. It has no birth at any time. And anadi, it exists all the time. Ajam and anadi. From that word ajam came germinate and the other words in English has come from that word jam, ajam. So that ajam word is indicating to us, Krishna is saying here, that is the nature of that pure consciousness. Consciousness is always, it is consciousness alone that exists. All other things you give importance to the creation, to this gross manifestation, that is not taken very seriously from the Vedic viewpoint. All this has no meaning. It will manifest, it will go. It will manifest, it will go. So what are you measuring at? Where they don't even accept that this manifestation is going to go away once. They don't know that. They are thinking that it is going to stay like this. Even though they are seeing the changes that's happening in the creation, they are still asking, where is this creation coming from? The creation that has come originally doesn't exist now. Every moment everything is changing. This very changing nature of the creation shows to us that the origin, Krishna is saying, has no change. Changes happening in the manifested world, not in the source. Source is ajam and it is anadi. So that is how Krishna begins about that. And then Krishna talked about certain good qualities, buddhi, Jnanam, Asammoham, Kshama, so all of those qualities, Krishna said, comes from the me. Means, there Krishna is Antaryami. There, first verse, Krishna is Brahman. നമേ വിദു സുരഗണ പ്രഭവം ന മഹർഷയ അഹമാതിർഹി ദേവാനാം മഹർഷീനാം ജ സർവശ ദർ ഹീസ് ആസ് ദ സുപ്രീം ബ്രഹ്മം ഹീ സ്പീക്കിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് ദീസ് ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ കംസ് ഫ്രം മീ വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ദി അന്തര്യാമി ഇൻസൈഡ് ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ഫ്രം ദർ വി ഹവ് സീൻ ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ ഓൾസോ മെൻഷൻ ഇൻ ദി സിക്സ്ത് വേഴ്സ് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ ദീസ് ഗ്രേറ്റ് സേജസ് ഹു ആൾ ദി മഹർഷയ സപ്തപൂർവേ ചത്വാരോ മനവസ്തഥാഹ മദ്ഭാവോ മാനസോ ജാത യേഷാം ലോകയിമാ പ്രജാഹ കൃഷ്ണ സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദ ഫോർ കുമാരസ് ദ സപ്ത ഋഷീസ് ദ സെവൻ സേജസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾസോ ദി ഫോർട്ടീൻ മനുസ് ദ സെവൻ സേജസ് 14 + 7 = 21 ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ദ ഫോർ ദി കുമാരസ് 14 + 7 + 4 സെവൻ ഋഷീസ് സേജസ് and the four kumaras, they are born from me, Krishna says. In other words, we are all born from the mind. Father and mother's mind, we were born. In their case, they were born chatvaro manavastathaha madbhavo manasa jata. They were born from me, Krishna says, and from them, we were all born in due course of time. What does that indicate to us? What indicates to us is that that greatness of those personalities, 14 manus, 7 rishis, and the 4 kumaras, all there, a part of that is there in all of us, which is to be recognized. And it is only because of that we still have some leaning towards spiritual life. It's coming from that. For kumaras are the personifications of knowledge. Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana, and Sanat Kumara. The 4 kumaras are personification of knowledge. And from there Lord Shiva has born. Shiva calls them as my elder brother. The 4 Kumaras are called, they were little boys, small little boys they are, the 4 Kumaras. Isn't it? They walked into Vaikuntham and they were stopped. And they were Digambaram, Brahmacharis, they had no clothes on. Because they were little boys, they didn't need to wear any clothes. They walked in and they put the fence and stopped them and told them, you can't enter, you can't come to Vaikuntham like this. And what did they reply? They said, where did this Veda Buddhi come to you? This kind of thinking. It should not happen in Vaikuntham. In Vaikuntham, this thought of man, woman, and little boy, grown-up person, wearing clothes, all these things, is in this world. It's not necessary to be in the Vaikuntham. It should not be there in the Vaikuntham. Because if it's there, it means Veda Buddhi. That you are seeing someone as the body. That's what it means. So the Kumaras cursed them. Kumaras cursed the two gatekeepers, Jaya and Vijaya. And in course of time, they had to come here because of that curse, isn't it? Kumaras also had to come here because both of them did the wrong thing. Krishna went there, isn't it, to pacify both of them. So in course of time, in 3 lifetimes, they came here. They came here in 3 lifetimes, which you know, Jayavijaya has come as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and Shishubala and Dandavatra. 3 lifetimes they had to take. Kumaras also had to take 3 births. They had to come. When Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu in that time, they had to come as Prahlada. They came as Prahlada. So then there is Vikarna and there is also Vibhishana. Then 3 births they had to take in that way. So both of them committed, because getting angry in Vaikuntham is not supposed to happen. If it has happened, means that you are not the right person to be there. So they had to come because of this. So keeping all that in mind, that Maharshaya Sapta Purve Chatuaru Manavastatha Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loka Ima Prajaha. From that statement itself, Krishna is telling us that you have come from me. So they are completely cutting off Darwin's theory. Darwin's principle that we are born from other species, we have come to human form, that's not acceptable. Krishna is not accepting that. He says, no, our inheritance is not poor, they're like the monkeys or anything. We have come from a very higher position. That means the great sages, the great kumaras and the great rishis, they are our ancestors. And it is their DNA that is in us. Not the monkey's DNA. What we have carrying with us is their DNA. And that is why even today, people are feeling an inspiration to study Bhagavad Gita and to develop transcendental knowledge, knowledge of the self. It will not happen. Monkeys, it's not happening. Why it's happening in the human body? So this is only due to this. So that's what that is saying that. Then Krishna mentions, Edam vibhuti yogam cha mamayo veti tattvada. So avikampena yogena yujude natra samshaya. We discussed that verse. What does that avikampam means? Avikampena yogena, aprachalita yogena. That means you come to that state where there is no more vibrations inside the mind and the and intelligence. It's all steady and stable inside. That state, we saw that. Then after that, that how one will reach that stage, that was the next three verses, isn't it? Actually four verses, but the first three verses, how will you reach that stage? Aham sarvasya prabhavo, that verse, machitta malgada prana, that verse, and also tesham satata yuktanam. Three verses is only to show to us what will take you to that avigampena yogena injiri yantra samshaya. But then, knowing very well our weakness, that majority of the people in the world, when they come to spiritual life, it is a very later stage in life. Or even if they come at the early stages, they may not get to the proper way, guided or directed in the proper way. So it's possible they get many times off the track, goes in different directions. And finally, when you get to know that some what is the truth behind what Krishna has spoken, by the time you get to know that, its time is too late, time is over. Then it becomes very, very difficult to follow this through all the way, what Krishna has mentioned here. So therefore, for such people, Krishna is saying it is not a hopeless situation. Still, therefore, that fourth verse, Tesham evanukambartham, anukamba, that is the only thing you can hold on to, Krishna's grace, nothing else. Tesham evanukambartham aham ajnanajam thama nashayami alma bhavasto jnana dibhena bhasvada. That verse which we have discussed today. So far we have got to this 11th verse. And when all these things were spoken, yadhoktam bhagavado vibhudim yoganja shrutva, after hearing all these things, Arjuna vacha, Arjuna says to Krishna something now. That is the next verse. Next to two verses, Arjuna is talking to talk something to Krishna. Let's look at those verses. Arjuna uvacha param brahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibham param brahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibham ahostvam rishayas sarve devarshir naradastatha asito devalo vyasa swayam chaiva bravishime ahostvam rishayas sarve devarshir naradastatha asito devalo vyasa swayam chaiva bravishime. Arjuna vacham param brahma param dhama pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum. Then ahostvam rishayas sarve Devarshi Naradas Tatha Asito Devalo Vyasaha Swayam Jaiva Bravishime. Narada is saying that these authorities, Asita Maharshi, Devala Maharshi, and Vedavyasa Maharshi, three sages' names are mentioned there, and plus Sri Narada Maharshi also. All these great personalities is quoted there. Arjuna says, you are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn an all-pervading beauty. All the great sages such as Sri Narada Maharshi, Asita, Devala and Vyasa proclaim this of you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. That is the translation. So, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashwatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam, Vibhum. So here, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Param Atma, Param Dhamma, Param Tejaha, Pavitram, Pavanam, Paramam, Prakrishtam, Bhavan, Purusham, Shashwatam, Nityam, Divyam, Divi Bhavam Adi Devam Sarva Devanam Adau Bhavam Devam Ajam Vibhum Vihona Shilam Idrisham. In that verse, Arjuna is saying that you are that Brahman, Supreme Brahman, and you are also the soul, Param Atma, and Param Dhamam, the Supreme Abode, also it's you. And who? What else? Pavitram Pavanam Paramam Prakrishtam Bhavan. You are that pure that before even the demigods and others were born, you were existing. And what else? Purusham Shashwatam. You are eternal. You are eternal. And beyond Nityam, Divi Divyam Divi Bhavam Adi Devam Sarva Devanam Ado Bhavam Devam Ajam Vibhum Vibhavana Shilam Idrisham. Purusham Shashwatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. What Krishna has told Arjuna, Arjuna is confirming that back. Earlier, Krishna said to Arjuna that he said, Yo Mam Ajam Anadim Cha. He said in the third verse, isn't it? Yo Mam Ajam Anadim Cha. And that same word Arjuna has used here to Krishna, saying that Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. See that power of that word? It's so important, that word, Ajam. That what Krishna has told him, that I am Ajam. And Arjuna is saying, I understand that Ajam, what Ajam means now. So he also, when he replies back to Krishna, he says to him, you are Ajam Vibhum. You are that Ajam. Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. Adi Devam Ajam. So those two things, Ajam and Anadi, Arjuna has also used in his reply, you can see. Adi Devam means Anadi. Ajam Vibhum. I am that Ajam. Mentions like that. So all these things are spoken there. Then, Ahuswam. Ahuswam Rishaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastatha. Asito Devalo Vyasaha Soyam Jaiva Bravishime. All the rishis, Vedic philosophy, Vedic literature, Vedic culture, everything is centered around the rishis, the sages. And that is why even here, Arjuna is also quoting the rishis as the authority, isn't it? Rishis are the authority. Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, the number of them mentioned in the Bhagavatam also, you will see a number of them mentioned in different places. Even when Parikshit Maharaj was going to give up his body, when he came and sat down, who came there? All the great sages came there. And what did Parikshit do? First thing, he paid his respects to all of them. Is it not? You know that. And there's a beautiful list mentioned there, who all arrived there at that time. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there who all arrived. That list one should keep in the mind, because they are the personalities who has given us this knowledge of the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the first canto, at the very end, you will see Parikshit is addressing them. There were thousands of people who were present there. All the all his subjects. Parikshit was a big emperor. So many people have come there. But when these great sages, only the sages who are present there, their names are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Have you noticed that? Others are not mentioned. They are not given importance. Why? Because these personalities who are present there, they are the authorities on the Shastram. Because they gave us a Shastram. It is through them Shastram has come to us. Isn't it? Who are they? Atri, Vasishta, Chavana, Sharadwar, Arishtanemi, Bhrigu, Angiras, Parashara, Vedavyasa Maharshi's father, Gadhi's son, Vishwamitra Maharshi, Rama, Prashram, Uthathyan, Indra Pramadan, Idmavahu, all these sages. Then Medhadidi, there also Devala comes. We can see the word Devala there. And the same Devala Arjuna is also using here. Devala, Arshtishayana, Bharadvaj, Gautama, Pipalada, Maitreya Maharshi, Aurva, Kavasha, Kumbhayoni. Kumbhayoni is Agastya Maharshi. And Dvaivayana, who? Vedavyasa Maharshi. And Naradascha, Narada Maharshi. These are the personalities on whom this Vedic philosophy is based on. It is their revelations to this world. All Upanishads and other Brahma Sutram, anything, Bhagavad Gita, everything if you take, it is through them that we have got it. Krishna spoke to Arjuna, but who gave it to us? Vedavyas gave it to us, isn't it? So that is why here you can see in these verses that Devala Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, all of them are mentioned there. Asito Devalo Vyasa. So, and Asita's name is mentioned in other places in the Bhagavatam. There are several instances where sages come together. When Krishna was going to leave the planet, at that time also all the sages were there, were they not? Maitreya Maharshi came to see Krishna. And prior to that, through Samba becoming pregnant, dressed up as a pregnant woman, Krishna created the problem for the whole Yadu family, isn't it? Krishna decided to wipe them out from this world, all the Yadavas. What did he do? He created quarrel among the family, within the family. So, personalities like Krishna's children felt like offending these great personalities. Imagine that. They know these personalities very well. And they were talking to each other. These sages, by dress they are not looking very good. They are not wearing suit or anything like that. They are always wearing very simple clothing with long beard and their matted hair and all over covered with tilaks and ashes and everything. They walk. So, and they were coming and visiting Krishna regularly in the palace. So these boys, they felt like making fun of them. Imagine their misfortune. They picked on them. The wrong place they went and picked. If they pick up anyone else, it doesn't matter. But they got on the wrong people. So they were visiting Krishna in Dwaraka every now and then. And they are Krishna's closest friends. Krishna says this to Rukmini. Rukmini, why did you marry me? When you see my friends, you know what they look like. And you made the biggest blunder there itself, he says to Rukmini. Krishna said this to Rukmini, isn't it? So they used to visit Krishna in Dwaraka all the time. And these children started saying, what sort of friends our dad has got? He couldn't find anyone better than this. These sages he is talking about. So they just thought we'll joke with them. And unfortunately among them also, they picked the wrong person. Worst of all, Dhruvasava Maharshi. So when they walked in, they dressed Samba with as like a pregnant woman, and they kept him in the forest inside. And they all together went up to him, to the sages who were passing through. They were going to Dwaraka to see Krishna. And says to him, there is one woman who is pregnant, he's standing in the woods inside. And we have one humble request to you, you're all great sages. Actually they were teasing them in one way. And says to them, if you could tell us what the child will be. And Samba by nature is very shy. And he has got a feminine look also. Who? Samba. So Samba stood and came and stood in front of them. And they say to Dhruvasav, right person to talk to. They say to Dhruvasav, Samba is, without saying, referring to who Samba is. Dhruvasav knew all this is going to happen even before he came there. What was happening? So he says to them, that when they asked whether Samba will have deliver a boy or a girl, his reply was appropriate. The reply, he's not going to give you a delivery boy or a girl. It will be a musalam, he said. In other words, an iron rod that's going to come out from there. And they thought that these people are making, they got crazy. That's what they thought. But after they left, they took a lot of time to remove the sari which was tied around Samba. Took it out, the piece of metal fell from there. They got frightened straight away. Immediately they got frightened and they run to Ugrasena. Didn't go to Krishna. Look at the way it happens. Had they gone to Krishna, there would have been some solution. The whole situation, if you look at the drama, what happened there, they all went to Ugrasena. They thought, if you go to the granddad, he'll be more merciful. Whereas father may chastise or say, what have you done? Say something about it. So messing around with Durvasava is not a good thing. This has happened. So when Indra messed around with Durvasava, what happened? The whole thing happened afterwards, isn't it? They had to churn the whole milk to get out of this nectar, to get the youth back again. In the Bhagavatam, you know, in the 8th canto, what happened with Durvasava. Durvasava brought one garland to... I'm just bringing back to the incident. What happened was, in the heavenly planets, Durvasava was one day walking through. Well, walking through that way, all the apsaras women there, they were making garlands. And with the flowers from the heavenly planets. Durvasava was, as soon as they saw Durvasava was coming, they were sensible. They were not like our boys, Krishna's children. They immediately thought, Maharshi is coming. Best thing is, before they curse us, we go and pay our obeisances to him. They all came with the garlands what they have prepared. They gave it to Durvasava Maharshi and paid their obeisances and left quietly before getting Durvasava angry. But Durvasava looked at the garland. He is not matching with his dress. Durvasava, if you look at him, you know the word Durvasava comes from the word Durva Rasam. Durva is a kind of grass with grows. He excuses that grass and from that something comes out, the juice. And that is his food. That's why it's called Durvasava. So this is so renounced he is. For him, what will he do with this garland? Garland will suit him very well if you are dressed up nicely and if you put on a person with a nice garland, beautiful flowers, it will look appropriate. Durvasava thought, what will I do with this? So he didn't say anything to them, to the women who had given it to them, apsaras women. He took the garland and walked further. When he saw there, he saw Indra was sitting on top of the Airavadam, his elephant, and practicing his training. He's training himself to fight on top of the elephant. So when they saw Durvasava Maharshi, Indra didn't bother to come down. Not knowing very well what Durvasava nature is, Indra sat there. So anyway, Durvasava didn't say anything. He put the garland on, gave the garland to the put it onto the top of the elephant like this. The garland went and fell on the top of the head of the elephant, and because of the smell from that garland, so many bees and other things started coming, and they started disturbing the Airavatam elephant. It was getting through its trunk, because of this garland which was on the top of the head. So the bees were coming and disturbing the elephant. Elephant, somehow or the other, got angry with the whole thing, pulled that garland down and put its feet and ground it on the floor. It stamped on the garland and ground it nicely. Durvasava saw that. I given with so much respect to Indra this garland, and he didn't care to look after that garland. He has no respect for that. He said, Jara and Nara, let that happen, he said. So when you stamp something, that's a noise, isn't it? Kara kara kara. So the same thing, he said, Jara and Nara, let that happen to them. And from that day onwards, what happened? Straight away what happened was, all the demigods, apsaras women, it all became more of like the heavenly planets has become like an old age home. Imagine an old age home like that. Everybody is puffing and coughing all the time, and worried about infection from any which side it's going to come, and all of them having dementia also. Imagine that situation. All of them in that heavenly planets were experiencing that situation. They didn't know what to do because of this Durvasava Maharshi's case, curse. That's what happened. And then to escape from that, it took a long time for them. They had to churn the ocean of milk. The demigods were helped by Krishna. Finally, the nectar came out. After taking the nectar, they got back their youth. The whole 8th canto is centered around this particular incident, isn't it? So, So these great sages, that is, they are the authority. That is what first thing we have to remember in these verses. See, when Arjuna is talking about any philosophy or even while glorifying Krishna, first acknowledging their authority. Who? Asito devalo vyasa swayam jaiva bravishime. Asita devala vyasa. Narada. Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyasa. All four sages mentioned there. In the Bhagavatam, you will notice these sages appearing and disappearing now and then, very often. When they went to so many instances, Durvasava Maharshi. So whatever pastimes they are doing with Krishna is not done to teach them anything, is only to teach us. That is why you have to be very careful about this. When we discuss this pastime with Durvasava Maharshi and Ambarish, you shouldn't think that Durvasava was responsible for all that. It was a mutual arrangement between Krishna and Durvasava Maharshi. To show to the world, to glorify Ambarish Maharaj, that pastime was conducted. The same Durvasava Maharshi went to Dwaraka once, and you know what happened. Some of you may know that. That Krishna and Rukmini were there. Durvasava Maharshi says to Krishna and Rukmini, I need to eat a lot of sweet rice today. Make a lot of it, he said. So Krishna said to Rukmini, better we make it, otherwise what he's going to say next thing we don't know, he said. So Krishna and Rukmini made a lot of sweet rice. After all the sweet rice was brought, Durvasava says to Krishna and Rukmini, now take the sweet rice and massage on your body completely, all over the body. Cover it up with this sweet rice. So they did that also. And then he says to them that I bring a yoke and put it on your shoulders. Now I'll sit on this bullock cart and you'll be the two bulls and start pulling me, he said. To Krishna and Rukmini, this is Durvasava said. And they started pulling him for a while. Krishna did everything what Durvasava has told. And Krishna says to Rukmini, don't say anything. And one thing after that, when Durvasava left, told Krishna one thing. Wherever the sweet rice has touched on your body, nothing will hit you there. When you leave this planet, it will hit at somewhere where this sweet rice is not there, and that is at the bottom of the feet. Where Jara, the hunter, when he shot the arrow, it went and hit that bottom of the feet, nowhere else. So there are so many incidents like this between the sages and Krishna. So many things goes on. It is through these sages we got the Upanishads. It is them, Vishwamitra, Vasishtha. They are all our ancestors from whom we have got, and they keep coming, changing. Different rishis will come at different Manu's times. The Saptarishis, you will see the list. Prabhupada gives all the list in the Bhagavadam. In each Manu's time, who are the Saptarishis? Mentions in the Bhagavadam. In which Manu, who are the seven sages? So when you look at the list, you will see it is the same list. They keep rotating there. The seven people: Jamanagni, Parashuram's father, Gautama, Atri, they are all the Saptarishis. So rishis are, that is why all Upanishads, if you look, you will see Nama Parama Rishibhyo Nama. First, respects to the rishis who have given us this wealth, knowledge of the self. Parama Rishibhyo Nama. All obeisances to the rishis first, because they gave us this wealth of knowledge of the self, isn't it? If they have not given us, suppose it's only in the book, who will understand it? Tell me. It's not possible. They, through their life, they prove to us it is possible to reach that state what is spoken in the Upanishads, isn't it? That how we can be free from the body, how we can escape from this body once for all and never to come back and accept this material existence again. That proof of that is these sages. That's what they have shown to us. That is why these two things go together. One side there is Shastram, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, Bharatam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, and all the Vedic literature. Other side, these personalities who lived that life and shown to us it is possible to reach that state what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Krishna says there that Brahmi Sthiti, Dehastho Bina Dehastha, all that state, we need some proof for that. They are the proof for that. The sages are the proof of that. So therefore, any time when something is spoken, their authority, they are quoted as authority. And that's why here you see, Asitaha, Devalo Vyasa, Naradas Tathaha, all of them, they have spoken about it prior to that. You are directly telling us now what they have spoken. That's how Arjuna puts it. He says, Ahuswam Shaya Sarve Devarshi Naradastatha Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Jaiva Braveshime. Whatever I have heard from them before, in other words, they existed prior to Krishna's appearance in this world. Krishna, of course, exists in the spiritual world. But prior to Krishna coming here, they were the personalities through whom we received the Upanishad's knowledge. That is why Arjuna says, I have heard from them, and now you are repeating the same thing to us. Says in here. So, so those two verses, Krishna is mentioned like this. So here, one thing to remember here is this, then. Up to this time, more interesting, Arjuna was addressing Krishna as his charioteer. Isn't it? Bring the chariot and keep it in front between the middle of the two armies, everything. He said previously. Up to this time, but you see a shift in Arjuna's position here. Arjuna is saying, Param Brahmam. He is saying Krishna is Brahmam, Supreme Brahmam. That is why that change. So up to this time he was Parabrahmam. Up to this he was charioteer. Suddenly Krishna has become Parabrahmam. All the other verses, wherever if you look in the previous chapters and previous verses, that is the beauty of this Vibhuti Yogam. In Vibhuti Yogam, Arjuna has come to that realization. I am not talking to that same Krishna who is driving my chariot anymore. I am talking to whom? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Every word is significant there. He says to him that you are Parabrahmam. You are Parabrahmam. Just like in a small bubble, you see the sky inside that. There is a sky inside. Similarly, within your this form, I am seeing the whole creation in you. Purna Vastu. That is what, that Purnada, Purnatvam, perfection is in that form, in Krishna's form. That's why, even though we may not call in that way, many others still address Krishna as Purna Brahmam. Isn't it? Why do they call Purna Brahmam? Brahmam in its perfection is Krishna, that form of Krishna. So, so, not only that form as Parthasarathi, as the charioteer who was holding the rein of the horses and the whip in the hand, that was the form Arjuna has seen spoken about before. But here, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. What is that word, Pavitram? Every word is very selectively used, Vedavyas here. He says here, Pavitram. Pavitram means one who is capable of purifying everyone else. That is Pavitram. This word Pavitram is an important word. In the Vaidika tradition, Vaidika Samskaram, the before any yagam sacrifice happens, the brahmanas or the yajnam who are performing, they will what they call as putting Pavitram in the hand. On this finger, they will tie that kusha grass on this, and certain mantras as chanted, it is called putting the Pavitram on. So that word Pavitram, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. That Pavitram, that we also have in the deity worship, you will see a word used like this, Apavitro Pavitrova. There is a word like that, Apavitro Pavitrova, Sarvavastu Sarvada. That means you have brought all the ingredients for deity worship. You have brought the flowers, you have brought the incense, you have brought the water, you have brought the oil for or the ghee, whatever it is. Now, if you keep all these things together, can you say that they are all pure? You can't, can you? None of them are pure. Why? You don't know how milk is produced now. With your best efforts for the milk, what you get from the supermarket, you know it has been produced not in a very pure way. It's impure, basically. Is the water pure? If you take it from the tap, definitely it's not pure. It's gone through all the toilets, bathrooms, everything, and it has come through your pump finally. So, strictly speaking, it's not pure. Water is not pure. And Plus, we have purified it by adding chlorine also to it. So, can you say it is pure? No, it's not pure. Flowers, most of the flowers are grown commercially now. Therefore, it colors and appearance, it looks beautiful. But when it comes to smell, there is no smell for the flower. So, none of the ingredients, what you are using in your worship, is pure. They're all impure. So, therefore, the rishis have told us, it doesn't matter. There is a mantra to be chanted to purify that. That is that mantra. So, it's supposed to chant to purify. Apavitro, pavitrova, sarvavastu, sarvada. Everything that get purified. Similarly, Gangeji, Yamuneji, Godavari, Saraswati, Jalesmin, Sanidhim Guru. All that verse is for that purification. Invoking all the holy rivers to come and purify this water what we have brought from the tap. That is why we are inviting all the Ganga, Yamuna, Kaveri and all that. Inviting them to come and bring this water what we have got from the tap to purify that so that it is good for using for the worship. So that pavitram, pavitram means this purification business. Purification. So look at the sages' intelligence. This is what you have to notice in all these things. They knew that everything can be purified. This pure and impure is all in the mind. That is where purification is required. That is why they knew if you chant the mantra properly with proper understanding, and if your mind is pure, this water is pure. If your mind is not pure, even if you bring the water from Ganga River, it's not pure. That is that subtle side is what the sages look at. They don't look at the gross side. We look at the gross side, they look at the subtle side. For them, for deity worship, if you are well learned in the mantras, and if you chant those mantras properly with the right understanding, whatever ingredients you have brought in for the worship, they are all pure. They are all pure. If you have not that understanding, that means sages are telling us, this is all from the sages. They gave us this mantra, isn't it? This Asidha Devala Vyasa Narada and all that. They have given us all this thing, process. So when from Shruti, when Smriti came, this is what Smriti does. This is the job of the Smriti. Shruti tells us certain things. Smriti makes it practical. Smriti does the practical side of it. So, in deity worship, not only in deity worship, even in the great, great sacrifices also. Take for example, ghee. If you want to get the ghee, they say, oh, it's pure ghee. Pure. Every can of ghee in the VB, if you look at it, it's pure ghee. And it comes from 10 different manufacturers, if you look at it. It's all pure ghee, they say. Isn't it? Everybody says. If you go to Vrindavan, they'll say pure deshi ghee, they say. To make it a little bit more authoritative. But we know it's not pure. We know there are so many complaints about that, how this ghee is manufactured in the factory and how ghee is processed in the factory. They add so many things to it to make it long-lasting, to live stay longer. And in Vrindavanam, there was complaints about it that they kept on advertising deshi ghee and they were adding the fat from the slaughterhouses into it. Even that was proved and it was in the paper and it was always coming out this news. Because this will happen in this world. You can't help it. It is the nature. Our people, we are after money. We are not after spiritual life, isn't it? So anyway, everything is impure. There is nothing pure here. Knowing very well all these things, the sages are saying to us, impurities are, because Krishna also says this in the Bhagavatam later, Uddhava, these pure, impure things are all in the mind. All in the... it's a big topic. We'll come to that in the 18th chapter when we discuss that in the Bhagavad Gita. How this pure impurity, we consider something is pure, something is impure. Something is good, something is bad. Something is right, something is wrong. Krishna says to Uddhava, unless you get out of all these things, you are not going to escape from here. You will remain here with your good and bad, right and wrong. So anyway, here, pavitram, that's the word. Apavitro, pavitrova, everything that is impure, let it become pure by chanting this mantra. That is what mantram is about. So, pavitram, there is only one thing that is pure in this creation, that is Krishna. Krishna is the only thing that's pure. When I say Krishna means the soul, also you have to remember in that way. That soul by nature, soul is the only thing that is pure. Remember, we keep repeating this word, pure consciousness. What does that pure mean? No impurity can touch the pure thing. If something is really pure, no impurity can touch. And something is impure, you cannot make it pure. Do you see that principle? It's the same thing. Nasado vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sadha. Something that is pure, you cannot make it impure. Something that is impure, you cannot make it pure. But this pure and impure is a concept in your own mind. And that is where purification is necessary. And it is pure if inside is pure. So, pavitram, pavitram. So, externally, you can't purify anything. Pure thing is only one thing, Ishvara. Krishna is the only thing. So, so in one in whom Krishna has woken up inside. Krishna has woken up inside, everything is pure in that person. Everything is paramam pavitram. Pavitram paramam. So, because it is Krishna, and because the knowledge is full in Krishna, the knowledge in Krishna is full, isn't it? The six opulences, one of them is knowledge. And the knowledge is in full in Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, pavitram paramam bhavan. Paramam pavitram bhavan. Paramam means the most, utmost pavitram. The most pure thing is you. So, in other words, Krishna says here that once this remembrance of Krishna comes inside anyone's heart, everything is pure there then. Everything what you are doing is pure. So in the temples and in the Vedic rituals and everything, we try to purify all the things there, isn't it? We try to purify everything. We say we need a Brahmin to make the offering. We say like that, isn't it? We need a Brahmin to make the offering. We need a Brahmana to do that. And the Brahmana should be trained in the various rituals, whatever he has to perform there. So, there what we are doing is, we are trying to purify the Vyavaharam there. But that is no good. That is no good enough. Vyavaharam, Vyavaharam purification won't solve the problem. Though, without Krishna's presence, if one conducts deity worship, he has followed all, sometimes you can see, people study all the books of deity worship. And they want to rigidly follow that, what they have studied from the book, isn't it? They will try to implement to the, and they will say it is said in this book like this, said in that book like this, and they will bring all kinds of rules and regulations into deity worship and say that we follow everything so rigidly, so it is perfect. No, it is not. Why it is not? Because you can understand that all rituals, everything is only pure if Krishna is present there. If that recognition of Krishna's presence inside, without Krishna's presence, you can't purify anything in this world. By physically doing something, it doesn't get pure. It's only by that bhavam inside of that it is being done to please Krishna. And with that surrendered way, if one executes the deity worship, even if there is so many other drawbacks in the worship, his worship is pure. Why? Because that bhavam is there. That is what actually purifies everything. So that is why, so many rituals and so many rules and regulations we follow. And so there are so many rules for keeping us in a pure conditions. And same conditions makes us impure. Those things which we think is meant for purifying us will make us impure sometimes because of lack of Krishna consciousness. What is the reason? Reason is, once you start thinking you are pure, that itself is false ego. That is the impurity. Ahankaram inside will make you impure at that time. Ahankaram inside will make you impure. So, beyond that false ego in a person, beyond that false ego, impurity, that there is no other impurity in us worse than that. You may not have taken bath, but if the false ego is not there, that is the greatest impurity in you. Not the external impurities of the body. It is this impurity inside the ego that is the greatest impurity in us. That is the first recognition. And only freedom from that false ego is the greatest purification for us. What bhakti does is that purification, isn't it? Bhakti does that purification. So we are looking at everything hygiene, we keep saying. We are after this hygiene. That is what our purification is. Hygiene. So this hygiene also is just a belief, another belief, isn't it? Hygiene is just another belief. So just like it is now a fashion, isn't it? Everybody drinks water from the bottle. They say they advertise all the ingredients inside, 100% pure water from the spring from Scotland and all. They will give a fine name also for it. Packed about 6 months ago or 1 year ago. We say it's pure. Because why? We say it's completely treated with everything what does need to be treated, or it is spring water directly collected from the source, so it's pure, we say. But Shastram is saying it's not pure. This is where the problem comes. What we consider as pure, hygienically pure, Shastric point of view, it's not pure. If you have collected water and kept it in the bottle, that's not pure. Pure water is that what you have taken from the well directly, where it is stored. From the well, if you collect water, so therefore you will see in the temples, ancient temples particularly, next to the deity worship, where deity worship is performed, there will be a well for the temple, and they'll keep that water exclusively for the temple worship. They could have also bottled it and kept it for years to come, but they didn't do that. Instead, what they did, said, was the water, when it comes from the nature, it is pure directly. But not once you have stored it, the water's purity has gone. Once you have stored the water, purity has gone. So when it comes from the nature, it is pure. Like this, several things, pure and impure, there itself there is a contradiction. We have a problem there. So we are thinking, if I give you a bottle of water, fresh from the Sainsbury's, or I give you first class quality water, but actually if you offer this to very educated and cultured Brahmanas, they won't accept it. They will say, can you get a glass from the well? That's what they will say to you. So this you have been keeping it for a month or whatever time it is, and if you tell him that, look, it is very hygiene, this water I am bringing to you, that's just your trust only, your faith in that, isn't it? Who knows where it has come from, taking it, because somebody is putting a saying to you, pay me this so much, 50 pence or 1 pound or whatever it is. So once this has started somewhere, and it's become all over the world now, it's like this. In India also it's become so popular now that previously when we were children, we drank water from the well. Nobody stopped us. Now if you don't buy a bottle and you carry a bottle with you all the time, wherever, in the bus, in the train, everywhere, you see this happening all the time. So it has become like this. Anyway, hygiene, what we say is just a belief. That's all. Nothing more to it than that. So, in some places, you can get water from the well, they won't take it, they go after these things. So, so sometimes you don't know that water flows through so many places, municipal waste, and all these places goes through. Who knows about it? But they're all connected each other, isn't it? Sometimes, even if you say it's come from the spring and all that, water didn't originate from the springs, it has come through so many other places, the water would have flown through. So it is not that because you have bought it in a bottle and when you look at the bottle it's very clean, that there is no bacteria there. And bacteria can enter anywhere else, isn't it? There's no problem with that. But we don't get sick sometimes. We still don't get sick. Sometimes we say when you go to India and you buy drink water from somewhere, after they will say, complain like this, oh, I was drinking only bottled water, why did I get sick? But then I brought the diarrhea tablets also with me to counteract everything. So in this way we survive here. So the important point here is this, that everything is based on a belief inside. You shouldn't get too much carried away by all these hygiene things. You can see, example is like this. Sometimes you will see children playing in the drainage water. They'll be playing in the drainage water. And they survive there. And also, you will think, looking at them according to the science, we will, because we have taught our children what? Immunity, immunity, isn't it? So many things we have told them. And school also, college also, they have been taught how dangerous it is, how the bacteria and infection will happen if you get into contact with one drop of water from the drainage, how quickly you can get sick. And you will, if ever you get sick, you will say that, oh, that's why it has happened for you, because you have done these things. So, but actually, what it has done is, this kind of education, what we have practiced all our life, it has destroyed our intelligence. We lost proper intelligence. We are not able to see things as they are anymore. We have become victimized by this kind of education. This is the sorry state of affairs. It has to be said. Because you look at it, nature in a different way. You see, the hogs are playing in the stool. Hogs are playing in the dirty water and the filth water we consider. And you look at them, they look like as though they have been taking Chyavanaprasham. And here I am with all my protection of the bottled water and all the injections I have taken to protect from all attack. I am always sick. So how do you connect all these things? How do you answer this question? You go to Vrindavanam, what do you see there? In so many places, it's so filthy. And hogs, if you see his family life there, you will envy him. You don't have a family life like he has got there. Even Indra could not go back from the happiness what he was getting there. So enjoyable, he said, in that filth, when he was having his wife, his children, and similarly the pigs also, the sewer, what they were enjoying, and they are not getting sick. How would you understand that? How do you explain that? You may say that, oh, there will be something else in their body, what is protecting them, this, that, and the other. All this is no fly. Krishna's creation is so perfect that nature has provided a certain protection also for this body. Unduly worrying about this body and thinking that it is us who are looking after, that is ego. That is ego. And that is where purification is necessary. If it is there in your heart, you will always be frightened about this. Is it going to attack me? Is it going to attack me? And I will invite that disease to inside, by through the mind. I will invite that disease to come. So here, what Krishna is saying is that this word has, this has spoken because when you read these words, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan, what is Pavitram? That we have to know properly. Otherwise you will think that Pavitram is something like an antibiotics dose. You can purify everything. You can't do that. Pavitram is this. Wherever Krishna is present inside the heart of a person, he is pure. That is the standard of purity. Not our purifying. Who can purify this body? Tell me, who can purify this body? Nobody can purify this body. By very birth itself, it's impure, isn't it? All other rubbish is inside. Only thing, we have put a nice wrapper around that with the skin. Krishna has put a good wrapper around it. And then we put on all the other things on top of it and give an appearance to the world. Everything is looking very nice. Celebrities we become by showing ourselves. But whether it is dog's body, cat's body, human body, inside is all filth, isn't it? It's all filth. Blood, mucus, urine, and all other waste. What is inside? And this is what we are carrying around. And we are saying we are pure, we are pure. What are we pure? Where's the purity there? So the question is this, that, coming to important point, that we are saying like this, purifying everything. So for the child we give all injections for contagious diseases. Sometimes have you noticed, suppose a child gets a very contagious disease. I have seen this, and that's why I'm saying this. In one house, everybody got the smallpox. Children died one after the other. The mother, who was looking after the child, never got it. Only the mother didn't get it.